All right, welcome to Joel Radio, people. How you doing out there, everybody? Welcome to the show. I just told Corey this is the point of no turning back. And our listeners should feel the same way.
Yes, sir.
Actually, they can turn back. Maybe they should turn back right now.
Well, we'll see how this one goes. And and then at the end of it, I will maybe give another safe word like jelly bean.
That was good.
Remember that.
A couple people chimed in with the jelly bean. It was nice. All right, welcome to Joel Radio. Let's get excited. I want to turn up the music. That's, Corey's like, that's about enough of that.
You know what that sounds like? That sounds like the Saturday Night Live band.
Yeah, it does. It's kind of why I chose it. It sounds like, you know, like old Letterman or something.
The world's most dangerous band. Which, they're now the CBS Orchestra.
CBS Orchestra.
They've been playing the same goddamn song on SNL for 37 years.
Is it really the same song?
I think the closing, I think the going away music is at the end of the show.
It could be.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
That's Amy's favorite part of the show, by the way.
Is the going away?
Yeah. She likes the going away.
She likes to see who hugs who at the end.
Yeah, she was like, she's like, it looks like a good party. I wish I was there.
Well, they're all, it's amazing they what all, they people will do when they're on television.
Right, and then but then they go to the after party, and then I'm sure half of them hate each other.
Right.
Or what have you.
Well, didn't like Norm MacDonald just leave after Update?
Will he just take off?
Yeah, I think he said that on Mark Maron, like he would just leave.
Right.
Like he's just not there.
Well, he wasn't in sketches, so.
He was in a few, but he, you know, when he wasn't in one, I think he left.
Once in a great while, Dennis Miller would be in sketches, and then they stopped putting him in sketches. And
we played Burt Reynolds, Norm. That's what they needed him
right,
for.
Right, right, that's true. Norm would be in sketches.
Yeah. Not a lot of them, but, you know, once in a while.
Oh, that is the, that is, look, Norm is coming to the Comedy Castle.
That's right.
Here in
one of these days. I don't even know
Detroit area. Sometime soon.
Next month, I think, sometime. So.
So I'm sure we'll have some Norm stories for you then.
I'll probably get some stories for you, but I don't know what.
I'll probably go over there and try and say
yeah,
hi.
Yeah, we'll see
if
what
I
he's
can.
Up to.
Yeah.
We'll see what Norm's up to.
You know, you don't want to be like that comic that hangs around all the time.
You don't, yeah.
But. Something like Norm MacDonald, I'm sure every comic's going
to
show up.
I'm going to try to get in those. And
every comic who's not working that weekend is going to show up and try and go, hey, what's up? I almost, when I worked with Amy Schumer, Dave Attell was playing the Comedy Castle.
Right, yeah.
And for about 3 minutes, we had an idea that we were going to run from in between shows.
Oh, yeah.
We were going to run from our show, run over and say hi to Dave and come back.
Yeah.
But that
didn't happen.
That plan did not come to a, well, she had ordered food and
of course.
I had friends to say goodbye to.
Yeah. So. And that's more important than hanging out with Dave Attell for 5 minutes or whatever.
Well, it would have been fun, but first of all, I've met Dave Attell.
That's what I mean. Like, what's
so
the,
it would have been cool for her to say hi to David. I mean, they're friends. So whatever, you know?
Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
There you go.
But anyway, so what have we got for people today? What's going on?
Today's theme, I think, will be feuds that no one cares about because there's a lot of. There's a lot of media wars going on right
Are
now
there?
Between people.
Trying to think
that I got at least three. I've got one.
I pulled some audio of that. The one that we were talking about before the show.
Well, you know, it's been a lot of drama.
Well, Keith Olbermann, is that what you want to talk about?
There's that.
Because God, I want to talk about it, but I don't think it's fair that we, you know, us having a larger audience than him. I don't know that that's right that we do that.
Stop that.
It seems like it's kicking a man when he's down.
Now, pish posh. We'll get into all that. And
well, let's get into it. Why are we? What are we going to get into it
for? I'm previewing the show.
Oh.
Then we'll have recipes. I think we'll talk about, we'll get into
cooking segment today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that it?
We'll talk about some summertime treats to mix it up.
But doggy makeovers. Are we doing those
today?
We
can do those too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it is summertime, and let's talk about your favorite cocktails. I've got a tremendous sangria recipe.
All right.
That we can mix up or a little. We can up. You know what we'll do? We'll update the mojito for 2012.
Wow, sounds great.
Put a new spin on it. Well, speaking of bullshit feuds that don't really exist, Katie Couric was on
Good Morning America this week. I did not see that.
And then And then Sarah Palin was on the Today Show.
I did see that.
Oh, did you?
And she did not. She did about nothing.
It was as dreadful as you would have
imagined.
Well, right?
She did an interview where, like, she doesn't really like Romney all that much.
Okay.
So that was kind of a weird interview because you figure she's like the Republicans haven't figured out that, like, they got an, you know. Apparently, this is. I'm going to take a guess on the Republicans. I think they think whoever, like, they think Santorum thinks if he beats Romney, he's the president.
Yeah.
I think they don't realize there's
that's not going to happen.
Yeah, there's another game in the bracket. There's I think they're happy to win the regional. I don't know what.
Yeah, it is weird.
Yeah, it is odd that they're like, they think that, like, you know.
It's kind of like going, well, I won the Big Ten title. I don't need to play in the tournament, right?
But Romney hasn't, I mean, but like, Santorum hasn't even won the Big Ten title. He's like a guy that's like, wait a minute, if I just. Santorum figures that in three more years he'll have the. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if these primaries keep going the way they're going, sometime in 2013, he's going to win the nomination. Well, and he's right if the nomination process didn't end in 2 months.
Maybe he's planting seeds for 2016.
Okay, plant your seeds in 2015.
But you know, that's how it goes, though. It's like guys think. Oh, I'm gonna I'll be in this campaign. I'll do okay.
And then
I'll come back next time. John Edwards played off that logic and ran again. Of course, John Edwards failed to notice that in the history of the Republic, if you were the vice president on the losing ticket, you never won the presidency.
If you were the vice president on the losing ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but doesn't that mean you, like, those people never won anything, did they?
Right. What I'm saying is nobody who lost the vice presidency race won, you know.
Yeah.
No one who finished second as a vice president ever won the presidency.
But when did John Edwards run, though? I know he ran with Kerry.
He ran with Kerry and then he ran again.
But did he run against Gore as well?
No.
No?
But he ran again after he ran with Kerry.
Because then he ran against...
Thinking, oh, I'm clearly, my name's out there. I was the vice presidential
nominee. So you're saying he ran in 2008?
Right.
Okay.
And then his campaign imploded.
Right.
And it was Hillary and
Barack. Okay,
and
I guess I get
Barack.
That.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you mean
Santorum
by that.
Santorum is going, ooh, I've got them now with my insane evolutionary gun rights, all his crazy nonsense.
He's just like, he just doesn't want, Romney to be the president. I mean, he's content with that. I think he's content to just not. Because I think his feeling, and you know, his feeling might just be, well, let's say Romney wins. Let's say Romney wins and, you know, hell freezes over in the next couple months because they're about as likely to happen as to the. But let's say if Romney wins, then Romney really, he can't run against Romney in 4 years.
Right.
Whereas if Obama wins, he can run against whoever the Dems throw out there in 4 years. So maybe that's sort of
a. And by the way, that's kind of a problem right now.
It's a long game.
The Democrats don't have any bench.
Well, they were talking about Hillary, and Hillary's denying that she wants to run.
Enough with that old.
I agree, but
With that old story.
Well, I mean, Hillary can sit back and go, "Hey, look at what happened to the economy. Should have chose me. Fuck you." So she's got a case. I mean, it's not like, you know.
But that's how the Democrats operate. The Republicans have a system, have a hierarchy where you get in line.
Yeah.
And the next in line is who
right? Well, I think it's a little bit of like McCain was sort of the guy.
Right.
He was the heir apparent, and then Reagan won twice, and then Bush got elected. And by the time, and then Bush won in law, ran in laws.
Bush only jumped the gun because his father had been a president.
No, I'm talking about even like Bush Sr., you know, he ran, he won, and then ran again. So like McCain couldn't even run for like. However many years that was, 16 years?
Yeah.
When he was really kind of qualified.
Sure.
Back in like 1980.
Right, between Reagan and
Bush. That's what I'm saying, between Reagan and Bush, you couldn't even run all those years. And by the time the Republicans could actually throw a guy out there,
In 96, it was, what's his name with the one arm? Bob Dole.
Bob Dole. Like, Bob Dole was the next guy.
But that's what they do.
And Dole had to wait all that time, too. Dole maybe even more.
But it's the Peter principle. The Republicans follow the Peter principle, where if you stick around long enough, you get advanced in the organization. Right? And so they always put up the guy who's next in line.
Well,
the Democrats go,
they didn't.
Look at this.
They didn't for
Jimmy,
W.
Jimmy Carter. Where'd that come from?
W, they pulled out of nowhere, but he was Bush's son. That's what he had going for him. But they plucked the governor out.
Well, I'm saying
they said we're not going to pick these guys. The old farts.
No, that's
out of the
what
Senate.
I'm saying. Yeah. Bush jumped the gun because he was the son
of
the president.
Okay, I agree with you on that.
But the Democrats have Jimmy Carter came out of complete nowhere.
Yeah,
Mondale was the vice president under Carter and didn't win. And Dukakis, where'd they get that guy from?
Yeah.
Then Kennedy. Then
same
Clinton.
Place they got Romney from, the governor of Massachusetts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then Clinton. You know what I mean? They pull guys kind of.
Well,
they make their stars. They make their stars on the fly. The Republicans go, who's next on this long
chart? Because
what happens
is the Senate and the House Democrats have shown so much shit flung at them that they stink to high heaven, and they get these guys from these states.
Well, Obama was a senator.
He was a one. He was a one-term senator when he got elected. He wasn't like
wasn't Jack Kennedy too?
He might have been, but he wasn't a guy that sort of. But you know, you get these guys like Kerry that ran and Ted Kennedy, and it's like, you know,
Kerry had been around for a long time.
Yeah, these guys had been around.
He might have. Been the one exception to that rule about making stars.
Yeah. Well, that's
you know
fine.
Why? Oh, because Howard Dean was going to be the big star.
Yeah.
And then his campaign, he was going to be the guy who came out of kind of left field, imploded. Anyway.
He went back to left field.
Yeah. He's got a good job as a pundit. I'll see Howard Dean shows up.
But Sarah Palin was not good on the Today Show, if we can get back to that. She just like, not that she's good at anything.
No,
really,
she's
like
a dummy.
But I kind of thought that she would approach it as she's kind of really the host of the Today Show. And she was going to be more of like an MC or a host.
She wouldn't know.
But
what that's
they kept making her like a panelist on stuff. I mean, I don't really. I'm not so much blaming her, but
they didn't just put her in the chair and make her go, oh.
Well, they interviewed her, and then they made her like. They did do like. Tori Spelling was doing like how to throw a great party.
Yeah.
And they had her there sort of chiming in her two cents. But like a lot of it was like.
Well, I use caribou dippers. If you can get those, what you do is you fry up some caribou.
Do you know
balls.
What? Well, she did say that to somebody like, if you can get caribou on the grill, I'm there.
Did she say that to
Al or something?
Really?
But like, you know,
I'm going to show you my patented recipe for moose balls.
Well, they do a thing called Today's Professional.
I do the worst.
You know what that is? On the Today Show? They have
no,
a panel of experts.
Show.
Well, I'll tell you who they are because it's great. Yeah. It's Star Jones. She's sort of the legal expert. And then you have Donnie Deutsch, who is the advertising
He's
executive.
He's the douche. Yeah.
And then they have their doctor, Nancy Snyderman.
Okay.
And they hit them with any topic. These people have opinions on it. So they sort of do this like kind of
rapid fire.
A panel of experts. So they pulled up a fourth chair and they threw Palin in it. And Palin just spouted off while like Star Jones glared at her. It was really just kind of like, and then it's like, why not just have, you know, Palin on and have her do what she's good at, which is not politics. You know?
Yeah. I don't know what you know, well, she did have experience as a broadcaster.
But you know what? Here's the thing. Okay, in a side-by-side comparison, she was probably hotter than Ann Curry. So you go on that she has this telegenic appeal about her and sort of a folksy way that maybe would work doing segments on the Today Show.
Yeah.
And yet they brought her on, and they just made her run her mouth the whole time, which I don't get that. But maybe that's what she wants to do.
I don't get why they had her on to begin with.
Because, the idea is, I guess this is a big week in television for whatever reason.
Is it a sweeps?
I don't know if it sweeps, because sweeps are in February and May, I thought. Oh. But, like, a lot of shows started this week, and...
It's the start of the...
Yeah,
it's
like...
It's the start of the third season.
The NCAA final was last night.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And then, you know, AMC started The Killing this week. HBO started Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
There's just these morning
Mad
show
Men
wars.
Was
Mad
on their
Men
second
has been
week.
On.
Yeah,
so it's been a lot of, like, hot TV stuff this week. And so, like, Katie Couric is doing the Today Show. Katie Couric is doing Good Morning America. Sarah Palin is on today.
Right.
Meredith Vieira was on yesterday on the
Today
Show.
Oh, God, Meredith Vieira.
Because she is coming out of retirement to host the Olympics.
Oh, good.
And then Ryan Seacrest is on tomorrow. Probably by the time you hear this would have happened. And he is going to announce a contribution to NBC.
Yes.
Which is probably going to be like some sort of Olympic coverage as well.
He's going to cover. He's going to cover the men's locker room.
Yeah, the glory holes in London. I don't know what he's.
He's going to be covering the swimming locker room.
He's going to go down to the King's Arms pub and hang out.
Backstage pass. Oh, for Ryan Seacrest out.
Seacrest by the pool with you for another.
He's going to be covering Michael Phelps' dick with his mouth. He's going to be covering. That'll just be that. Michael Phelps will do interviews naked, but with Seacrest's head in front of his dick.
So apparently, now that NBC Universal is one thing that, you know, Seacrest is now under the same corporate umbrella as NBC. So now he's
He got his own channel, this douche.
What do you mean his own channel?
Mark Cuban is turning over HBNet.
Oh, that's
to
right.
Him,
he bought into it.
And he's
like
partner in it, and he's going to run the thing.
Right.
And like enough with the I have never seen a more mediocre talent have the Dick Clark, I guess.
Well, Carson Daly was kind of this guy for a minute, and
Carson
then he went
Daly
away.
Looks like a genius compared to
I
you
know.
Ever watch Carson Daly's show?
No.
He's got, like, it's on at 2 in the morning.
And he tapes it at, like, a coffee shop or wherever he just
happens
to be.
They don't have a set anymore.
Yeah.
Now he just drives around L.A. Yeah. And he goes to, you know, he goes to the Troubadour.
Yeah,
he
he's backstage with some band,
But you know what? He has good bands on there. Like, he has cool bands and stuff.
Right, I know.
And his show is actually not bad. Seacrest would never
From him, it'd be great.
Right. You know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Whatever hot new bands are out.
He's not trying to be Johnny Carson.
Right. He'll be like, tonight on the show, Beach House.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever cool new band. And then Seacrest is like, you know, Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
He's the biggest sellout. People Magazine. Yeah. Picks and Pans. Flavorless
people,
almond.
You know, every generation has that guy.
God, he's the worst.
And he's that guy. You know, Dick Clark was our guy. Or our parents' guy.
He was our parents' guy. I don't know what our guy was.
Who was our guy?
J.D. Roth, I think, the host of...
J.D. Roth?
Do you remember J.D. Roth? No. He was a like, kids' game show host. He hosted, like, Funhouse. Do you remember Funhouse?
Not really.
It was a kids' game show in the afternoon where they would, like...
I kind of...
There was a big set. They'd run through it for prizes.
I think I'm starting to... It's starting to...
Mark Summers?
Mark Summers could
you know
be,
what I'm saying? These kind of bland guys.
But Dick Clark could have been our guy. He was just older.
Dick Clark was around when
I was
an
older
kid,
version of our guy. But
well, you know what our guy was? The MTV VJ.
Sure, yeah.
Mark Goodman.
Mark Goodman was there.
Alan Hunter.
Yeah.
All those schnooks.
Yeah. So anyway, Seacrest, I guess, is joining NBC, which is
why didn't they put Palin on with Hoda and Kathy Lee? That's what I want.
You know what? That would be good, but
that's television I'd tune in for, right? Just them doing shots. Just riding a bike, running on a treadmill while
they're so stupid. That show is, and it's funny because they had Hoda like Monday. I don't know where Lauer was, but she was there, like anchoring the Today Show, like for real. Yeah. And she's fine doing it. I'm not sure.
Right.
I'm not sure where the act is. I'm not sure if the act is that fourth hour or if the act is the regular show, or maybe some people just have two sides.
Some people can go through, like, okay, George Stephanopoulos is on Good Morning America now.
Yeah.
And then he can go do the Sunday show.
Yeah,
and
I guess.
Actually pretty credible.
Yeah.
Because he's a political, he was a political advisor. That's where his whole career came from. But Christiane Amanpour could not do the cooking segment.
I guess you're right about that, sure.
Some people are good at one and not the other.
Yeah.
And some people,
Katie Couric. Stephanopoulos is good at that type of morning show? You sure about that?
I'm not saying that.
I'm not saying that either.
But he's, he should have probably stuck with the Sunday show.
Yeah, but you know, I think the money in that more, I think that's why everybody goes to those morning shows, is they pay like tens of millions of dollars a year to do them. Because
the money isn't bad for the Sunday show.
Well.
But it's one show a week.
And it's a lot more work to do the early morning shows. I think those things generate like major bank.
Oh, huge money.
I mean, if you ever watch those morning shows, there's no content.
Oh, no.
I mean, it's like, it's literally 30 minutes of commercials and local news, and then, you know, in an hour, they're barely doing 30 minutes.
Amy hates the Today Show with a white-hot passion.
Yeah, you've said this before.
My wife, but she hates the fucking show.
Yeah.
Because it is all, let's talk about this kid that got stuck up a tree.
Right.
Or then it'll be, what's new in autism research?
They'll do that.
Should you give your kids vaccines? Yeah. And... It's dreadful, but just putting Sarah Palin on there seems stupid beyond...
Yeah, I don't get why she's on, other than I guess she has fans that'll watch her beyond there.
I made the mistake of going on, reading an article on and then looking at the comments about the Sarah Palin being on that show.
Yeah.
And there was a guy in there that was like, you'll all see when Sarah Palin sets new records on the Today Show and Katie Couric hits new lows.
I can look and see if the ratings are out, but I think they take 24
hours. But see, they hate Katie Couric because she gotcha.
Yeah.
By asking the bitch what she reads.
She exposed her.
She asked the bitch to name a magazine.
Okay,
that was her tough question.
Well, here's the thing.
Name a magazine.
She shows up and, you know, she's only hosting the 8 o'clock hour.
Mm.
So in the 7 o'clock hour, Lauer teases like, hey, Sarah Palin's in the studio with us. And she's sitting on the couch with a stack of newspapers, making a joke. Not you know what I mean? Like she's breaking the ice. Like, hey, I'm acknowledging that I don't read
the newspaper. But the Sarah Palin fans so are still mad at Katie Couric for asking, what fucking newspaper do you read? She could have said the Washington Post, end of story.
Yeah, you think she...
Right?
No,
or pulled a fuck the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Did you see that Game Change movie? I know you got HBO.
I've watched like scenes of
a lot of stuff in there she just talks about she only likes the Wasilla newspapers.
Right.
Like that's the only press she wants to do.
Well, I want to know... We have a Dollar General that opened in Wasilla, and I want to know what's going on.
But
over
like
there.
She's like... You know, she says to the guy, she says to the Woody Harrelson guy, the advisor, like, when am I meeting with the Wasilla papers? And he's like, well, you know, Alaska's got 2 electoral votes and it's red.
Right.
So we're not really going to waste a lot of time doing that. But then she insists and she gets her way. So
the Wasilla papers.
The Wasilla papers.
How are there, is there like more than one paper in Wasilla?
There probably is. I don't know.
The fucking Penny Saver?
I'm not sure what they...
You know, it's funny though, like if you go up to Iron Mountain...
Yeah.
There's like 5 radio stations and like 2 or 3 papers.
I guess.
Up in Upper Michigan because the town isn't very big, but all the people that live around there, that's the closest thing to anything.
And that's everybody gets that in like,
right?
Yeah, half the state gets that paper.
Everybody within a 200-mile radius of Iron Mountain gets that shit or Marquette or whatever. Yeah. These towns that we don't think of as big, you know.
That's where their news emanates.
Because we live in a metropolitan area.
The news
of 5
emanates
million people.
There. But I wonder if that's if like the internet isn't getting rid of that on some level. If that's like because I know newspapers have taken a hit even in big cities, but big city people are sort of plugged in maybe, and that's the difference. Is that big city people would be more likely to walk around with an iPad. And
I
just
wish
get their
I wish I could tell you that was the case, and I certainly feel like that at my at my job. I feel like we're under more of a pinch.
Yeah.
But every time I go out to a bar.
Yeah.
We went out to this place in Warren,
which
is, I never go to Warren.
Oh, my goodness.
There's no excuse to go to Warren.
You poor man.
No, you know what I mean. Warren's a giant suburb of Detroit.
Yes.
That's really, there's no there.
Well, it's known, if it's famous or anything, it's that it's got these automotive.
There's a lot of GM and
GM
Chrysler
plants and
there.
The Chrysler Tech Center is out there and all the shit, so.
Yeah, the GM Tech Center.
The GM Tech Center, and there's a big Chrysler thing out there.
Chrysler product, yeah.
Plant, and yeah.
So there's a bunch of auto stuff out there. So it's a blue-collar kind of lunch pail kind of guy in town. But they have a brewery over there. They have a hipster brewery where they make mead.
Okay.
Which is, you know, fermented honey.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I was wondering about that. And it's they put yeast in it, which is...
Yeah, my friend used to make mead.
Because I'm like, you can't actually ferment honey.
You know my friend Patrick, he used to make mead.
He made mead.
Yeah, he made mead. And it was good. It was
He made men as well.
Well, he made mead. He was he used to brew his own stuff. And
did he really?
Wine. Yeah, he made mead.
Oh.
Yeah.
I never had that.
He was into that. So back in the 90s...
Pat was great. He had the first like high-def TV.
He did, yes.
And somehow Best Buy delivered 2 of them.
How great was that?
That was insane.
He ordered a TV, and then they brought 2.
They delivered it, and then like a couple days later, FedEx came and delivered another one.
I have the real story. The story was he ordered the TV. He took delivery of the TV. Then he saw in the circular that the TV dropped in price. And since they guarantee prices, he went back. Now, in order to refund his credit card, what they did is they wiped the first transaction, and then they refunded him that money and then charged him for a new TV. Gotcha. So what they did is they charged him for a second, refunded him for the first TV, which he already had, and then charged him for the second TV and then delivered it. And he didn't say boo.
Wow.
And he ended up with 2. They were 60-inch rear projection TVs, which nowadays you would kind of go, eh.
I thought they weren't plasma?
No, they were rear projection. They were rear projection LCDs by Sony, yes.
Wow.
Yeah. They didn't even have 60-inch plasmas back then, I don't think. I don't think they made
this
them
This was
that
an
big.
early flat screen.
This would have been 2000 and...
Well, it was the Eagles and the Patriots.
Yeah, whatever the Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl was. I'm going to guess that was 2004 or something.
Okay.
Does that sound about right?
Yeah, makes sense, sure.
I don't know. But that's easy to look up for one of us. Who are sitting in front of computers?
Yeah, I know.
Connected to the internet. I'll look it up. That's fine.
No, I'm doing it. I'm just tying
my
shirt.
It? All right, we'll see who can get it first. Eagles, Patriots. Let's see.
Oh, this is nothing better than 2 guys.
I have it as February 6, 2005. How's that?
Okay. Yeah. I'm
did I hit? Right. Did I hit it? What did I say it was? 2007.
You said 4.
Oh, 4. Okay, yeah, so I was good. Off by right. a year. So in 2005, he got, he had, so we went over there for a Super Bowl party once.
But that was right when the first real flat panels were
HD hadn't really been a big deal at that point.
But it was cool.
In fact, probably the Super Bowl was one of the few
things that was broadcast.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of probably the networks were very
well. We had it on dueling on stereo.
It was
TVs.
So great. We had 2 60-inch screens set up in his living room.
Oh.
It was Nirvana. Anyway, my friend Pat would make mead. It's pretty good. I mean, I don't think I would drink it all the time, but it's one of those things where, like, you know, oh, that's different. And,
well, anyway, if you want
it's
mead.
High alcohol content.
If you
too.
Want mead, go over there.
Yeah.
What was my point about this thing?
You went to Warren, newspapers.
Oh.
There was somebody,
I went to Warren, yeah. So we went to this bar, and if you really want a $7 beer, this is your place.
That might be the problem with it, yeah.
Although I had a beer that was 13.5.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was like, you know, they brew their own stuff, and they make their
you
own
drink one of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I drank one of those.
Right, that's about it.
And then I had another.
Home, I think you got to stop there.
Well, I had a 13.5, and I had the big growler, and the you know, and then they then I was like, oh, I have another one, but I had like their 3.2.
Yeah.
Like I had the lightest beer they had. Anyway, there were two magazines I'd never seen before.
Oh.
That were similar to my publication.
Oh.
Two entertain. There was like the Macomb Monthly.
Oh.
And then some other like Macomb County Nightlife. And I went, where are you jerk-offs getting money to print this? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And they go on, they get ads for all these bars.
Uh-huh.
And it's eaten into my pocket. It's taken out of my checkbook. And,
well, they don't have the great editorial staff of the Metro Times.
Yeah, but they apparently have somebody who can sell ads. That's all
well,
I
that's,
need.
That's...
Sell some goddamn ads.
Please.
Go over to John John's and buy an ad.
Did they get rid of the pot stuff, or is that still?
No,
can
it's
still
in there.
Do that? But I thought there was some law, like they were making those illegal or something. The feds were going after them.
Oh, really?
No, well, that didn't happen?
Not that I've heard of yet. But because
that's a lot of your advertising.
Well, the problem is that a lot of our advertising was classifieds. And then Craigslist came and took a shit on that.
Yeah, I think that's true for a lot of news. I think that's true for mainstream papers.
I mean,
as well.
You looked at our paper from, and I have them. I have stacks of, I have every copy of the Metro Times for the last 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at them from 5 years ago, they're thicker because of all the classifieds.
Well, do you remember what like the Sunday Detroit News looked like? With the classifieds, it was gigantic with all the cars.
I know, I used to deliver the sons of bitches.
And now you get it and it's just not even that impressive anymore.
Now, did you ever deliver papers as a kid?
I never did. I knew that was a con. I knew that was like a bad way to make money, I think.
It wasn't much of a way to make money.
Yeah.
Because you always had to go and collect.
Yeah.
And the people would never be there.
And they'd never want to pay you.
They
and
wouldn't
then
want to pay you.
And what was your cut as the paper boy? Did you even... Because I know you pretty much worked on tips, but
I think I got like 5 cents a paper or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it was
like really,
really
low,
yeah.
Cheap. I don't even remember what the deal was, but yeah, it was like that.
Right.
Or if it was a Sunday paper, I got a quarter for the dollar Sunday paper.
Yeah.
Or I don't know what I got.
It was a very low cut. I remember that. And then you had to get tips.
Not even that. I got maybe
and
10
then you tipped a guy more on Christmas. I remember my mom doing that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, give the paper boy a couple extra, you know, give him.
One of the people on my route was one of my teachers.
Oh.
And I believe I caught him in flagrante once. He came to the door, like, wrapped in a blanket. And his wife was in the background going, who's there? Yeah. Rather embarrassing.
Paperboy.
Yeah. There were no hot chicks waiting while you were riding your paperboy route.
You that never happened.
When
huh?
you were, you know, you were 12 and you were riding your paperboy route looking for, you know, for some.
There's never the woman in the negligee.
No. That's never happened to me anywhere.
Checkbook's in the bedroom. Never happened, huh?
Porn has let me down. So anyway,
my girlfriend will order Jimmy John's. Like, she'll answer the door braless for the Jimmy, and I'm like, really? And I'm like, how do these guys not bang you?
She'll answer the door.
Yeah,
braless.
Like she'll just. I mean, she'll have a shirt on, but she's like, you know.
I thought you meant just whipping them out.
No, but like she just like she runs around her apartment, like you know, like because there's like a laundry in the basement. And she kind of traipses around.
I just don't
think
that shit happens.
She traipses around in her pajamas and stuff.
Where are all these people having sex in airplane bathroom?
I don't know.
I never see this.
No.
I never hear any of it happening.
Never had it happen to you.
I haven't hung around looking, you know, with a wide stance in the men's room at the airport. But, you know, I don't know where this... all this crazy illicit sex is going on.
I don't know. I'm sure
where somebody stoops the pizza guy. I've never seen this.
I've never seen that either. But
now, granted, I picked up a couple Coney Island waitresses.
Yeah, but, see, that's, you know, that's almost the modern equivalent.
You go, hey, when's your shift over?
How many? I think I'd like to talk to one of those girls and see like how many like telephone numbers they get in a night. What do you think the number
is?
If you're working like the late night shift at Leo's in Royal Oak, what do you think that waitress? Like, what? How many phone numbers you think does that broad go home with?
Depending on the broad, it could be a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm thinking a lot. Thinking that's probably a pretty good way to get laid if you're a chick. You get a job like that.
Yeah.
You probably get your pick. You know? Guys that are into banging waitresses.
You get your pick.
I mean, I'm not really. I look at those waitresses and I go, well, there's a boatload of problems. You know, that's a...
I do now.
You do now. I mean, yeah, I guess when you're 19 and 20.
I didn't when I was 20.
Yeah, that's true. And I hit on those broads too. But yeah. And now you go, oh, there's a single mom. That's well, it's like strippers. You don't want to date a stripper if you can avoid it.
Oh, good God, no.
Yeah, you know.
I remember we used to go to like the strip clubs in East Lansing, and my friend would like hit on the strippers.
Yeah.
He'd stop and have long conversations with them and stuff. And,
you're right.
And then the like floor manager would be like, come on, move along.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. And that's a zero-sum game. You don't want any part
it's,
of that.
It's now. It's sort of like,
to
yeah.
me now, dating a stripper is about the least appealing thing.
It really is. Because,
really...
you know, you kind of go, hey, look how hot she is. And then it's like, yeah, but then she's naked for every guy.
Mm-hmm.
She's grinding on 50 different guys a night.
She hates men. She probably hates
every guy.
Men are complete pigs.
She works terrible hours.
Right.
It's not really a desirable profession.
There's nothing good in there. No.
I dated a former stripper.
Okay.
Who actually wasn't current.
Right.
But she was. Mm-hmm. She still had all the.
I'm sure she had it all.
She had all the crazy baggage.
Yeah.
And none of the income of the stripping job. Yeah.
She clearly had it all worked out post the stripping career. I'm sure all the problems had been resolved.
Hey, listen, when her ex-boyfriend got out of jail, he made sure to call me right away and threatened to kill me. So don't think that any.
You did have a stripper that lived upstairs from you in Hamtramck.
She lived downstairs from me, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that girl was an alcoholic who would come over at 6 a.m. and make out with me. Which was bizarre.
I remember her being drunk.
And yeah.
When she moved out, though, she threw out a bunch of stripper shoes.
We did have.
Yeah.
We did decorate the apartment in stripper shoes after
there
she left.
There were these giant Lucite heels, which is huge. That was great.
I gave away her nudes on the mailing list. Do you remember that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I blocked her face out, but yeah.
That was a good time to be on the mailing list.
they might still be on. I don't
know.
You
want this
on
special feature
list.
Back, 610-552-0746.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I think you can only sign up from the mailing list from the old site now anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to CornyJewelRadio.com, there's a mailing list sign up.
Oh, my God.
I'd have it incorporated into JewelRadio.net.
We don't have anything to add to the mailing list.
So, yeah, really nobody signed up for the mailing list in quite a while.
Maybe we will add.
That site is sort of defunct.
Maybe we'll do a special bonus feature.
Just for the mailing list? We haven't done that in ages.
Let's do one. Yeah, why
not?
Well,
maybe the next week we'll do one. I'm feeling like this show is starved for content. How are we going to...
God damn, is this show stuck?
Well, why don't we do Mystery Record? Why don't we do that? Is that fun?
Well, no, I was going to... We would finish up on the feuds. Were there any...
Let me just do this.
Talk about Chevy?
All right, we'll talk about... Whichever. We want to do Chevy first?
We'll get back to that. All right, what is this Mystery Record?
Oh, I just see, because I saw this today. I thought this was great. Mystery Record, okay. This is something I saw. I'll let you guess. This is somebody who is... Oh, I think it just... I got to search for it again because... Because when the thing powered down... Anyway, this is a person who's made an album. This is a record that you can buy in stores or online or wherever you buy music.
You can buy music in a store?
You can, if there's a store that wanted to sell this. You could buy this.
Well, I can go to Sam Goody and get this.
You can go right down to Sam's Jams here in Ferndale and pick this up. But I'm going to be playing the video. And here it is. Now, this is a famous person, but not a person known for music.
Okay.
So that's the only clue I'm going to give you.
Not Scarlett Johansson.
Well, you haven't heard the vocal. You have to hear the vocal. That is the male celebrity vocalist.
Mr. Bill?
Now, the video has some other, like, sounds in it. You might hear other voices, and those are just the people in the video.
This is hideous.
It's... I can't decide if it's better or worse than Metallica and Lou Reed. I think it might be better.
Emo Phillips? Who is this?
Let me see how long this is. It's a 7-minute video. When I tell you who it is, you might recognize the voice.
Elmo?
You want hints? You want clues?
It sounds like a cartoon.
Well, there's an affectation going on, obviously, in the world.
Whatever it is, make it stop. I can't guess. I have no idea.
He's somebody somebody I think that you like as well. It's somebody you're a fan of, but not for his music, obviously, because
David Cross. Well, no, who is it?
You're half right.
Bob Odenkirk?
No. David Cross means you're half right, meaning his first name is David. This video is David Lynch.
Oh.
This is David Lynch's new album.
Well, that would have made sense. I think characterizing me as a fan of David Lynch is probably a little...
But I don't know. I'm assuming you like Blue Velvet. And
I like some of his movies. Yeah.
And Mulholland Drive and all that stuff.
And I really hate some of his other movies.
Well, this is sort of like some of his other movies that you don't like. But yeah.
That makes total sense now that you say.
Like, the video is kind of cool. He directed the video. It's very weird, but it's called Crazy Clown Time.
Who could listen to that?
By David Lynch. And there's a whole album of it.
Oh my God!
And this is the that is the official video that was just
Jelly Bean. I mean, that is unlistenable. Oh my God! Holy buttery shit toast!
There are people who have done video reviews of the album as well, which I don't know.
I can imagine. I don't know what that faggot David Lynch is doing in his video,
but
he's a queer bait and he's some kind of Fruit Loop.
But he's just like, the vocal is just so bizarre.
It's It sounded like Lady Elaine from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
But it makes sense when you know it's him. You go,
oh,
like,
sure.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like if David Lynch,
yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
No, I went,
yeah.
Like, you say David Lynch, I went, oh, that jerk off.
Right, yeah.
Because I do like some of David Lynch's movies.
Yeah.
And then, like, Lost Highway, I could punch him in the face.
Yeah.
The only good thing about Lost Highway is Patricia Arquette's boobs.
Right. But I would say on a matrix of, do you think David Lynch is talented? You would say yes. So maybe
sure, I would.
Yeah.
But he's aggravating.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
His pretentiousness, and that is evident in the song as well. But
holy butter. Speaking of pretentiousness.
So look up that video. It's pretty cool. There's a, like, I'm not even sure what's going on in the video. Guys are, like, swilling beer, and then, like, a girl's topless and running around, rolling around on the lawn.
All right, maybe I'll look at it.
It's called Crazy Clown Time.
I heard Fiona Apple's got a new album.
Yeah, I haven't
heard
that.
Speaking of Crazy Pussy.
Yeah, what happened to her?
Speaking of Crazy Pussy.
Where did she
pussy?
Go? She went away for a while. She went
to the nut
crazy
farm,
hospital.
Right?
Yeah, where did she go? There is a thing with, like, female, and if I did more research on this.
You know what, though? She and Zooey Deschanel should do a song together.
There is a thing with, like, female vocalists where they have one good record. There is sort of this thing that, you know, Carole King and Alanis Morissette, there's kind of this thing where they have one, Sarah McLachlan, they get this one record that's big.
Edie Burkell.
And then they
and
just,
the New Bohemians.
They can't repeat, even like Feist, maybe Lely would be an example.
Sinead O'Connor.
They just can't repeat their success. Tracy Chapman. They just have, and some of these people have careers that are, you know, they have fans, but they can't have another hit. It's a weird thing where, like, people don't, Lisa Loeb, I mean, I can go on and on.
You say, Lisa Loeb should have just,
what movie was she in?
She,
I just watched a movie with Lisa.
Yeah, Lee. She was in. She played like
was
a friend in, of somebody.
She wasn't in Young Adult, was she?
Yeah.
Was she in Young Adult?
No.
I literally just saw Lisa Loeb in a movie, and I can't remember. I think I watched it at home.
Here's my problem. I watched 10 million movies. Did she play somebody's mom?
I think so. Are you finding it or? Do I
yeah, I'm on it. I'm on this. I'm on this shit. If Lisa Loeb had just put a thong on, maybe someone would have.
She'd never take the kid off, would she? She just wouldn't do.
Well, she did in that stupid reality.
Oh, I know. She was in the Fright Night remake. That's what she was
there
in.
There you go.
Yeah, I just watched that the other day because.
Yeah, she was in Fright
Night. I ran out of movies to watch.
God, I would still. That, I mean. Oh.
You still like. How old is Lisa Loeb? Does it say when she was born?
She's 40-something.
She's 68 when she was born in. So she's
not 68, but she was
she's
born.
She's not 68. So she was born at, she's 44 years old now.
Yeah. Well, it's still not that bad.
Yeah. It's all right.
Oh,
Lisa Loeb.
Fright Night. Yeah, there you go.
I'm not making any joke. It literally was the movie Fright Night. I wasn't saying. She's frightful to look
no,
at.
That's right. She apparently did the voice of Mary Jane on a Spider-Man cartoon.
Well, there you go. That's big time.
There you go.
So Lisa Loeb. But, you know, it's like there's this thing with female
musicians where. But Lisa Loeb,
musicians
has,
where
Lisa Loeb has put out
they
albums
have a hit,
and toured.
But they just haven't been hits, though. That's the point.
Liz Phair. Here's another one.
Liz Phair, one kind of a one-hit wonder.
They put out one. And then everybody
they put
goes.
Out one big record.
And all of those names that we just named, all those when we just named. Those albums are considered. Now, it's not just one song.
It's a, like a
those
legendary
are like
record.
Legendary record.
Who's the chick from the Fugees? Lauryn Hill.
Yeah.
A perfect example.
Lost
she won every award in the
mind.
World. That's what I'm saying. Fiona Apple right. is kind of the same thing. People know Fiona Apple.
Fiona Apple actually has put out a couple decent records.
Yeah, but she had the one. I think her debut was.
She had one big hit, and then her last one did pretty well. But yeah.
But she's just, they're not, you know what I mean? Like, somebody, they have careers. Like, Tracy Chapman still tours and stuff. But even, like, you know, going back to, like, Joni Mitchell and stuff, like, you know, who cares? You know?
Joni Mitchell had a lot of.
Patti Smith, one kind of one big record. That's it.
I guess those two might break the mold. But Dusty Springfield.
They won women.
Dusty, everybody goes, Dusty in Memphis is the best record ever.
Women get one record. That's
Aretha, because she didn't write her songs.
Aretha, but Aretha's more of a singles artist then.
Right.
Like, because Aretha sort of is before the LP era a little bit. Like, she's right on the cut.
Her big album.
You know, Motown is not known for their albums.
Aretha's one big album is I'll Never Love a Man the Way I Love You. That's considered the album.
All
that's
right.
perfect. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Right.
Other than Marvin Gaye and Stevie Wonder, they were not.
They didn't really.
Album
they're not
oriented.
Really that right. classic era mm-hmm. of Motown.
Right.
Was very singles.
You could get a collection of the Temptations or Smokey Robinson,
sure.
and not have to worry
they
about
didn't
individual albums right.
in the long playing format.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, so I just
we're really off track now.
Well, I watched here. Well, if you want to get nerdy about music, I watched The Last Waltz the other day.
Sure.
So I was sitting around and like I got the Blu-ray with the commentary and I was listening mm-hmm. to. Robbie Robertson. And then I was reading about how Levon Helm slammed Robbie Robertson. It's pretty great.
Do you even like the band?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that movie's great. If you've never seen The Last
I just never heard you talk about the band.
I like the I like Dylan, and so I got into the band through
from
Dylan.
From the Jayhawks and the whole thing.
And, they were the Hawks.
The Hawks, yeah.
The Jayhawks were
Sorry.
Later.
They were the backup band for...
Yeah,
for...
well, they worked with Ronnie Hawkins. It was Ronnie Hawkins and the Hawks. Then they left to become some other band,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't have a name, and Dylan would just refer to them as the band. Yeah. And so
they were Dylan's backup band when he went on tour when he had
right.
electric.
When they did the famous thing in
the
London,
tapes,
in London, that's in that No Direction Home documentary. The band is the Hawks, which is basically the band. Although the drummer was not Levon Helm because he quit.
Okay.
And Mickey Jones, who was like a guy who's like a character actor now in Hollywood, was the drummer. If you look up Mickey Jones, you'd know who he is. Like if you saw his face and you go like that guy was in rock and roll. He's like he plays a biker. If you know, do you look up Mickey Jones? You'll recognize him. You'll go, oh, that guy. He's a guy with long red hair who's like a biker in every movie or like a tough guy. Like, I don't know if he was in like Home Alone, but it's like it's that.
Cool. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That guy was Bob Dylan's drummer on that famous
tour.
Yeah. He played with basically the band before they were the band. And then he quit and Levon Helm rejoined. And then the band made all their records after that. So, yeah, Mickey Jones.
Well,
it's rock
go.
And roll trivia right there. So anyway, but I was watching the band, and you know that was and Joni Mitchell's in that, and apparently one of the controversies in The Last Waltz is that first of all, it's amazing to see who's on more drugs,
mm-hmm.
but I think Neil Young wins if you see that movie.
Really, Neil Young?
Yeah, and apparently they had to rotoscope out cocaine in his nostrils. According to Wikipedia, they were saying that there was so much, and he's like sitting, he's on stage like grinding his teeth. It's pretty. He's really bad. And you know, half of the guys in the band are really, really, like, when they're doing their interview segments with Scorsese,
coked out.
They're really, really strung out, man. They're, like, really gone. But that's pretty, that's a pretty great rock and roll movie. Because the band, actually, that was the biggest thing they ever did is when they broke up. Which is, you know, kind of amazing that that was their biggest, you know. Like, I think that album sold more than anything else.
Than their other albums. Their albums were more influential than they were.
Yeah, a lot of people cite, like, music from Big Pink as, like, this great.
I like the second album, The Band. Yeah. It's just called The Band.
And people cite them as this influence. But because there was somebody, I was reading this band website where a guy was talking about how before they did The Last Waltz, they had a show on sale in San Francisco, which is where they did The Last Waltz. And, you know, tickets were $7.50, and they had only sold, like, 50 tickets. And then when they announced they were retiring, they moved it to a bigger venue and sold it out. Mm-hmm. So, like, no one really, you know.
Well, dying is a good career.
Yeah, it is. It sort of was their thing where they died. But go watch The Last Waltz. I recommend that if you like
scarcity.
Good music.
Scarcity, that's what it is.
Yeah, well, they made themselves.
By the way, how does Wayne Newton sell any money? Why does he charge money for his tickets? Because he plays every night.
Wayne Newton, need to see that. Oh, here's a great piece of trivia also from that. Not on the Wayne Newton, but Neil Diamond's in the movie. And apparently, like Levon Helm was pissed that, like, Neil Diamond was in because he had nothing to do with the band.
Right.
But Robbie Robertson wrote an album with him.
Okay.
And so they wrote some single. Then Neil came out and sang, and he sang it good, like, but he really looked kind of like a square next to the rest of those guys.
Well, Neil Diamond was a square.
Yeah, and, but, he sang it good. You can't really fault Neil Diamond for what he did. But apparently, the story is he goes backstage, and, you know, Neil's feeling like he did really well. He goes back, and he says to Dylan, he goes, "Follow that." And Dylan's like, "What do you want me to fall asleep out there? How do you follow that?" So Dylan ripped Neil Diamond, which sounds about right.
Everybody rips.
Everybody
rips Neil Diamond.
It sounds like Dylan would have absolutely no respect for Neil Diamond.
No, but Neil Diamond's still standing, baby.
Yeah, Neil Diamond's still the biggest. You can't get any bigger than that.
I mean, he wrote all those Monkey songs, so I respect him.
Right, but that's a lot of what Dylan. You know, Dylan killed Neil Diamond's career effectively as a songwriter, because when Dylan
came out,
the Beatles, all those guys were writing their own tunes and the Stones and stuff.
Yeah.
And that sort of...
all those bro-building hacks were put out of work.
Yeah.
If you're still listening, please call 610-552-0746.
All right.
And today's secret word...
We'll give it to him at the end of the show.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, they're not going to sit through your Chevy shit more than they're sitting through my band's shit.
Well, okay, good point.
You're talking about the audience.
You're talking about a band that literally broke up the year I was born.
1976?
No. Yeah.
The Last Waltz was 76.
Okay. Yeah.
The movie came out in 78. Was that more? No, you were born in 75.
No, okay, yeah. So,
you born in 75?
Right. Yeah.
Okay,
so.
See? All right.
All right, you're giving away how old we are. All right, anyway.
Corey was born in
1981.
1987.
That's my new answer.
Anyway, so yeah.
Oh.
You want to get into, because that was feuding.
You still got Lisa Loeb's.
I was giving you feud.
You got
stuff?
Lisa Loeb's deliciousness.
All right, well, why don't I just pull up some.
That is a yummy Jewess. Find her in the thong from her show. That was good stuff.
What show was that?
She did a reality show called Number One Single on VH1.
Oh, really?
Where she was trying to get a date.
Oh, that's right.
And she ran around in her underwear on it, and it was great.
Huh.
Terrific ass.
Yeah, let me see. You know what? I've got an app for that. It's called Google Images.
There's an app for that. Neil Diamond, by the way, he tried to get hip. He made an album called Velvet Gloves and Spit.
Don't you dare doubt me again, by the way. Because
look at that ass.
There it is.
That's a choice little bubble, isn't it? For a 40-year-old lady?
I wonder if I can find a larger...
A larger ass? No, it's
not
nice
a larger
petite,
ass,
but it's a petite
ass. I'll find a larger version of that same image. But anyway, there's pics from Fright Night here as well. Oh, there's a whole string of these.
It is depressing when Lisa Loeb's playing somebody's mom, though, and you're like, God, I spanked it to that video 100 times, and then...
Let's see. That ass is not hers that you're looking at right there. That is somebody else's ass.
Hey, the album of the day on All Music is Giant Steps by the Boo Radleys. All right.
I got that. That's sitting.
That and their previous album, Everything's All Right Forever.
Yeah, I think the problem with this is that these are vid caps.
They're vid caps.
Yeah. And the vid caps, because the show was in standard definition,
are only so good.
They can only give it to you at like...
there's like a...
Do you want to look at Catherine McKee's ass?
Yeah, let's look at that.
Instead? Because this one's pretty big. I mean, as far as the image size.
Oh, and the ass.
That's good, right? Look at that.
Sure. Good stuff.
Celebrity butts on the next Joel Radio.
We'll do a whole show. I'll sit here and I'll evaluate every ass.
All right. Yeah, but Lisa, yeah, I think that's the best you can get with Lisa Loeb's ass. So I'll.
It looks good, though.
I'll put that
right.
Up. Is that going on the show page? As you want that?
Well, it could be.
If you haven't checked out JoelRadio.net, I encourage everyone to go over there because I've put some good content up there. Mm. I put up Jennifer Lawrence after the last show. A lot of people wanted to see, I know you wanted to see those cleavage pictures, and I showed them to you off the air, or on the air, but people didn't miss that, couldn't see that. So.
Mm-hmm.
But here's Lisa Loeb's ass. I don't know. That's,
good times.
All right, what are we going? Are we going into the Chevy thing?
Let's
get into
it. I just
got to queue up the audio on that, that's all.
We've often talked on this show about what a dick Chevy Chase is, so have we? I don't know.
I don't know if we have or not.
We've often talked off the air about what a dick Chevy Chase is.
It's sort of known in the general. the general, you know, if you follow the media, I think you understand that Chevy's a dick. I don't think that...
Well, having had a personal run-in with a mercurial talent myself, I believe today's theme is mercurial talents. And Chevy Chase is apparently very difficult to get along with.
Sure.
Legendarily so. This is nothing new. This goes back to... You know, his days at National Lampoon.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to the 70s. And clearly, if you read Live from New York by Tom Shales and James Andrew Miller, there's hundreds of incidents of Chevy being a dick. I mean, it's repeated over and over again.
Yeah, nobody really liked him on the show. He got famous and immediately left to do Hollywood movies.
Mm-hmm. His cast didn't like him.
Yeah.
And then he'd come back and other casts didn't like
him. You're right. He'd come back and
From Gilda Radner to Will Ferrell, no one liked Chevy.
Yeah.
Although Gilda wasn't interviewed because she was dead. But
right.
Dan, who was it? Bill Murray was in the book.
But he came back and worked with that crew again.
Right.
He came back and worked with Murray and the originals.
Yeah.
And then I'm guessing he came back at least one other time.
He came back a couple times.
And nobody liked him.
He came back when in 86 when Lauren came back. That's the best one.
Yeah.
And he told Terry Sweeney, who was the only outward, openly gay cast member SNL's ever had until now. They just hired a lesbian.
Oh, that new chick is lesbian that's on there?
They just hired a lesbian.
Right.
The only gay person who's ever been on was Terry Sweeney, who did Nancy Reagan. That was his big claim to fame, is he did a Nancy Reagan impression. And Chevy goes, hey, are you gay? You're the gay one, right? I got a sketch idea. Here's what we do. We tell everybody you got AIDS, and we weigh you every week.
It's funny.
There you go, Chevy.
All right, so his big comeback was they put him on the show Community, which was his big return to comedy form. Because I don't know what Chevy had been doing.
Chevy was really hovering around the drink.
He kind of stopped making movies after
the
90s.
Cops and Robbersons.
Right, he did like Funny Farm and Cops and Robbersons, and he did, you know, and he did this kind of these movies where he was almost, you know, kind of at the last, and he never would be like a supporting actor or anything in anything with Chevy.
Which is what you have to do at a certain point. I mean,
I think so.
Look at Bill Murray. Bill Murray has always been able to diversify his career, and he would start doing things like he was in Ed Wood.
Sure.
You know, Bill diversified into being a serious actor when his big romantic comedy of the year theme kind of dried up. I think when you get to a certain age, Chevy never did that.
Yeah, Chevy just you know, keeping on doing what he's doing. And so now he's in Community, which is a show that has sort of teetered on the brink of cancellation, but yet is immensely popular amongst a very, very, very narrow group of individuals.
I think Community is an example of the system being broken.
Yeah, in what way?
I think, well, this has often happened in that there's been shows that don't get Nielsen's.
Okay.
But have a fan base.
Sure.
And like the famous example being Cagney and Lacey, which had a write-in campaign to save it. Star Trek had a write-in campaign.
Right.
And ultimately, Star Trek proved to be the biggest example of this, where the show never really pulled in Nielsen ratings, but it had a fan base that they couldn't really calculate.
Right? Well, Family Guy
more recently
canceled and came back.
I don't think Community has that big a fan base.
Not at this point.
But it's got a passionate fan base.
Sure, they're passionate. That's what I'm saying. And that, I'm saying narrow. I didn't say anything that was wrong.
But I think
that it's a very narrow group of people.
That ought
like
to
this.
Matter for something.
There's nobody over 40 that likes this show. I'm going to say that pretty much. I think I can, with almost impunity, say that this is a show that if you're in high school or college, you probably like. You're more likely to like.
And if
you're older and maybe a little more sophisticated, you're not into the Community. I don't feel like Community reeks of sophistication. I feel like it is more.
It's very meta.
It is more in the vein of something like a Family Guy. It is more in the vein of a South Park, where it's more rapid fire type jokes, and it's not, you know, they don't go for the necessarily quality. They go for quantity.
Well, it's got a certain unreality to it. It's got a certain, you know, there's nothing. The Office, when it's not being crazy, in the best episode of The Office, had a very human, realistic dimension to it. Now they get stupid with that show.
Yeah.
But Community is not set in a real world.
Yeah, Community is you're right.
It's set in a television world.
It is, yeah.
And they make fun of other television shows.
It is sketchy in that sense. It is a sort of a sketch that goes on for weeks and weeks.
I like the show, but I think it varies in quality.
I watched the first few. I tried to get with it because I think Ken Jeong is very funny, and I like some of the actors on there. And I tried watching it, and it was fine, but I couldn't wrap my arms around it and give. It
I
a
would
big
wrap
nod.
My arms around Lisa Loeb's ass.
Yeah, do you want me to get rid of that? Is that distracting?
No, you know what? Forget Lisa Loeb because now we're talking about Community.
All right, you want some Alison Brie?
Bring up Alison Brie and
you want Alison Brie in the Fast Times at Ridgemont High bikini?
That's good.
Okay,
get that.
That one. Or do you want her getting spanked by the other girl?
That's
saw
good
that
one.
Too. That one's good too.
Get that one.
I know.
They got two hot pieces of tail on Community. Jillian's nothing on nothing to.
Alison Brie.
Right.
And yeah, she was in Maxim. It was her. Well, there's lots of bikini shots. I'm seeing.
Oh yeah.
Do you want this one? Which one you want?
Whatever. If we did a babe bracket, she would be.
Corey's got a.
She would be making
Corey's
a run.
Corey's got man. A winner would, already, huh?
She'd be running deep in the tourney.
What do you think of that?
Oh,
this is
me out like that. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what this is even from.
She's on Mad Men, and they make her almost frumpy on that show because she's supposed to be the wife. And
this is from Men's Health.
Jesus.
Magazine.
Gay men are even jerking off to
Yeah, I was going to say, what guy, who's reading Men's Health?
She's so hot that gay guys are jerking off
Well,
to
she's,
her.
You know, she's one of these chicks that seems like she's approachable.
Oh,
She seems like the girl next door, but meanwhile, she wouldn't fuck you with you know.
No.
She's not touching you.
Under no circumstance. Yeah, but she does give that illusion that she's
You know, I did that movie that's coming out, and she was in it, and she wasn't there on that day.
Oh.
Yeah. She's in the movie, but not on the
Too
day
bad.
Of the shooting. Yeah.
No, you get the impression you could fuck her. Never would happen under any circumstances.
Right.
But she's smoking hot, and the blonde is hot, too.
Yeah, I can God, I saw that recently where she was spanking her, but... Oh, here we go.
There it is.
Don't think I can't find these. Well, no, that's Catherine McKee's ass. Here we go.
There it is.
This is from GQ is what this is from.
Now that's,
what's
that's,
the other broad's name?
Jillian Murphy? What's her name? No.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but her tits are, Alison Brie's tits are like hanging out.
They're out and proud. And the other girl is smoking hot too.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that's all right. Well, that's why you watch Community, I guess. I don't know.
There's talent on the show. Jillian Jacobs.
Jillian Jacobs, okay.
Or Gillian, I don't know.
I don't know either.
It's with a G.
Who cares?
Who cares? Your name is Suck It. That's your name.
Your name is.
Get down there and polish it off.
Yeah, oh. Alison Brie, there she is.
Yeah. It's a funny show. It's a little too self-conscious.
Right. I mean,
the tone of it is a little too hipster.
But the thing is, they throw Chevy on there almost to give it like some cred or something. I'm not sure why. I'm sure they're all fans of like that SNL
because
and that
it's
was influential.
It's ironic. They go, "We've got Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
We've got a famous old celebrity."
Sure.
The whole show is kind of a pop cultural self-referential. Mm-hmm. They did a whole episode where. The dean of the school wanted to shoot a commercial to advertise the school.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went crazy like Marty Scorsese on Apocalypse Now on the set, you know, and the shoot started getting out of control.
Or Francis Ford Coppola.
Sorry, excuse me.
Scorsese might have been crazy on Apocalypse Now, but...
All right, sorry, Francis Ford Coppola, excuse me. Right. He, you know what I mean? So they did a parody of that.
By the way, in the commentary, he mentions the red shoes about 50,000 fucking times. Right. Yeah, on The Last Waltz.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not a movie that
is... I was very into it. Yeah, Michael Pressburger. Anyway,
Michael Powell's the red
Michael
shoes.
Michael Powell and Pressburger. Powell and Pressburger.
Shoes. Yeah. And also in Black Narcissus. He used the same sort of emotion of
in
camera.
Stairway to Heaven? anyway, Peeping Tom was a big influence on me in this film.
He won't stop. There's not a movie that you can find that he can't tie into the red shoes.
Right.
Everything,
right.
There's no reference.
What about Duel in the Sun?
You know, if anyone got that reference, that would be great, but no one even knows what the red shoes is.
I know.
I think when Marty talks, actually, he's kind of, I don't think it's all that enlightening. He just kind of talks fast. He seems like he sounds like he's saying something, but I don't know.
If you want to hear me doing a good Marty impression, listen to the episode called Marty and the Widgets.
Oh, yeah, that was great. Instead of this crap.
This is garbage.
All right, what are we talking about? No, Chevy's in a feud with the creator of Community.
But they did,
let me play the
guy. They did a parody of Apocalypse Now, and then they did, and then one of the guys, the other guy in the show was like, well, I'm going to film him filming this because the documentary about the guy going crazy is better. They're very self-referential.
Sure.
They started making references to Hearts of Darkness, which was the documentary about Francis Ford Coppola going nuts. All right. Chevy Chase is a prick. Let's roll that tape.
So he's in a feud with this creator, and the creator had dressed him down.
Dan Harmon is the guy.
While they're shooting the last episode. Mm-hmm. And then Chevy calls his voicemail, and then Dan Harmon has some comedy night that he runs. Somewhere in L.A., and he comes out on stage and, like, plays it for the people in the club. That's what the crowd is, because I was wondering, when I called you yesterday with it, they hadn't revealed that portion.
Dan Harmon,
was this played in public?
Yeah, Dan Harmon's kind of big in the underground L.A. comedy scene.
Okay. So here it is. That's the laughter you hear is people at this club listening to this. And then TMZ bleeped it. It's not even that good. We really need the unbleeped version of this. Well, it's pretty. He is pretty good. He is right in that sense that, he says to the guy, well, you know, you can play this for all these people around you. I guess that gave him carte blanche to, like, play it on stage for people. But
right.
It just never ends. Wherever he goes, there's a fight.
Well,
it's like Keith Olbermann. It's the same thing. They go, and it's the same thing. And, you know, look, maybe Chevy was done wrong by this guy, okay? But Chevy's history doesn't get anybody on his side.
Exactly. It's the same problem Olbermann has.
He's hard to work with. His track record shows that. And then this happens, and no one's got Chevy's back.
No,
there's people on TMZ are saying there are staffers that support Chevy.
You know what though?
In his position.
But guess what? Yeah. I've been difficult in my minor.
Yes.
In my minor career.
Right.
And there were always people like you, and maybe Bill, and there were always people that did have my back, even when other people didn't like.
Okay.
Me.
Yeah.
There, you always do have fans if you have a certain amount of talent.
Unless you're Chevy and you got no fans.
Well, no, I'm saying if you have a certain amount of talent.
Yeah.
You have people that like
you.
But you also have people that hate you.
Yeah.
But I think in the case of guys like Chevy and Keith Olbermann,
they
probably are. I don't know about Chevy. Chevy has done some brilliant movies.
Yeah.
I loved him. I really did love him in the 80s.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Funny Farm, which is a
that's a good movie, yeah.
That is a almost lost classic. I love Funny Farm is really good.
Sure.
Some of his movies are complete garbage.
Yeah.
Olbermann has always been good. When he's on air, he delivers the same product. But he's such a pain in the ass to work with.
Yeah, what's his deal?
And the whole problem of that ESPN book is all about everybody.
It's a lot of why Olbermann is a dick. Yeah.
What happens is Olbermann probably had very real complaints, and he probably had real complaints about how they ran ESPN. And if you read that whole ESPN book, the ESPN2 was a debacle from the get-go.
You're right, yeah.
And Keith was probably very right to be mad.
Yeah, that's fine.
The problem is everywhere Keith goes,
he's
upset with the circumstances. But he thinks he knows better.
He also is a guy that demanded a shitload of money and then sort of didn't pull the weight of the guy that was really earning that money, too. Because he wanted to take days off. And there's a whole thing. I forget. Daily Beast or somebody?
He couldn't
went
get
through
along.
His emails with these people. And they're, you
he
know.
Couldn't get along with MSNBC because they got sold to Comcast. And I'm sure he didn't like the people at Comcast.
Of course.
Because you know what? It sucks to be in a place where there's new management.
Absolutely, yeah.
It always does suck when the management turns over and you're working somewhere.
And even when management says they're going to keep things the same, they never do anyway.
They never do. And even if they keep you, the clock starts ticking.
Right, yeah.
So
you're not their guy.
I understand Keith's perspective from that point of view, but he's done this everywhere he went.
Yeah.
And so he leaves MSNBC where he did have a million plus viewers every night.
Sure.
And he had built that network for years, and they built it around him, basically.
Yeah.
And they had a bunch of shows like Dan Abrams, you know, and they had court kind of shows.
Yeah.
And like topical day, you know, what missing bitch is in Aruba now this week.
Yeah.
And Nancy Grace and crap like that. And then it went into what it is now. It's a political channel as a counter to Fox. So Keith does create things, but he's a pain in the fucking ass.
Yeah, well,
and he went, and then he goes to Current TV.
Yeah,
Al Gore lures him over there. That Current TV couldn't draw flies. I mean,
yeah, I don't know who's watching that.
Do you remember when Current's original idea was that it was going to be viewer sourced content?
Exactly. Yes.
Which was a great idea until the next year when YouTube came out.
Yeah, that was kind of the problem, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there was a channel called the 90s Channel. Do you remember this?
No.
That was a cable channel that was in weird parts of your cable system.
Yeah.
If you scrolled up to the higher end of your channels, you'd find the 90s Channel.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was viewer-sourced, and it was you could see any kind of wacky shit on the 90s Channel.
Well, the problem with Current is that, number one, is it doesn't have clearances. And where it does have clearances, it's on such a crappy part of the dial that you can't even see it. Like, it's on mine. It's not on in HD.
It's not on HD.
Which means that, like, it's not even, you know, like, on Uverse, which is AT&T's system that I have, the HD channels are all in, like, four digits. They start with 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, whatever. And this Current is, like, 250. So it's, like, it's... 800 channels away from what you would probably be watching.
How long until it's we're finally terrible. Rid of SD?
No, because they still, these fucking shows, okay. There's those judge shows in the afternoon. Some of those are in SD. I saw it the other day. The new Let's Make a Deal is still shot with Wayne Brady, is still shot in SD. It's like, what are they doing?
Well, first of all.
Yeah.
Why is Wayne Brady on the show?
Well, why is it in standard definition? Why is it Wayne Brady?
He could be the worst game show host.
He's terrible everything.
His seething, evident contempt is right under the surface.
He really, contempt. You'd think Wayne Brady, like, he's envious of, like, I think he thinks he's like Will Smith or something. Like, I think he thinks he's whoever the biggest star is in Hollywood. Like, he's like, well, you know, Tom Cruise can't sing and dance, and I can, and, you know, what does Brad Pitt have that I could have done Moneyball?
Right,
you know, he sits around and goes, like, why am I not beloved? Why am I not, you know, this great star?
Because you're Wayne fucking Brady.
Yeah, because you suck. Nobody likes
you.
The
best thing he ever did was on Chappelle's Show, and that was probably not his idea.
When he went out and Wayne Brady, you'll kill a bitch, or whatever.
Wayne Brady got a choke a bitch.
Choke a bitch, yeah.
Yeah. He played against his type.
That was great. Chappelle had it. Chappelle knew what to do with him.
Chappelle was great.
They should put Wayne Brady on Community.
It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea.
Put Wayne Brady on there. Make him make him the janitor.
And you know, they'll have his Community will get guest stars and stuff, and Betty White.
It's just okay. My point is that I don't you know.
It's not better than Parks and Rec.
No, it's not.
It's not better than
but you know.
Well, I guess it is.
It's better than 30 Rock at this point?
It's better than, 30 Rock is okay.
They don't even know. That's going to be the big story, by the way, in the next month or so. What's happening over at NBC on their Thursday night lineup.
Oh, yeah.
Because the threat is that there's not one show that's solid over there.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Up All Night is probably their most solid thing that they've got.
Right.
Maybe Parks and Rec, I guess.
And Whitney didn't take off.
They're saying Whitney might be gone. The Office might be gone. Community might be gone. 30 Rock, I think for sure, is gone.
Yeah.
They got nothing. I mean, it's like they're going to have Up All Night and like...
The Office died the day Steve Carell left. It really did.
Okay, let me just say this about The Office, and you're going to jump all over me for this. This last season has been crazy, and I love it. It's not as good as the show used to be.
Okay.
But as its own entity, It's kind of it's weird, and
it's
weird
in its own way.
I like it. It's a weird remixed version of The Office now. And I kind of enjoy it. It's a weird, like, it's a bizarre, like, you can't, you know, you have to kind of throw out canon, and you sort of have to throw out a lot of what, you know, well, Jim and Pam would never do that, or whatever, this guy wouldn't act that way, mm-hmm. And you just have to go, well, just let these people act like they're acting, and it's funny.
Yeah.
In that way. But it's you have to approach it differently. You can't grade it on the same scale as the other Office shows. When Carell was there,
I guess the problem
is
that the show at least was
the first four seasons.
The first four or five seasons were mostly grounded in reality.
Yeah,
on The Office,
sure.
Occasionally Dwight would let a bat loose,
right? Yeah,
in the office, there'd be something wacky, but there was at least a grounding in reality.
Right.
Now it seems to be going off on just a wild tangent.
But I think it's funny,
and some of that's funny. I liked when the balloon was stuck on the ceiling.
Yeah,
but. I don't like James Spader.
Yeah, they've done these characters that are so over the top.
Yeah.
The British woman is no good. It's just weird, but I like it.
Catherine Tate, that's like
she's weird.
She's a big star in England.
Yeah.
She's a huge comedy star.
Right.
She never can do anything over here that anyone wants to see.
Right. I mean, I get what they're
doing. Because she's doing Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, she kind of is, yeah. Yeah.
And that stupid midget show.
I've only seen that first one, which was pretty lame. That Liam Neeson scene was
was the best part of it.
Was really tremendous, and I've never seen another episode of Life's Too Short. But
God damn, Elsa.
Should I take that down? You seem so distracted.
I'm going to see some more.
I'll just switch over to the other one, just so that's less distracting.
That's good.
Anyhow, but yeah, The Office. So I mean, whatever they're doing. By the way, I've done some early tallying on the. The fall TV prediction scorecard.
Okay.
Well, we have to wait for some shows to come in because what happened is that we have some early. We have a clear. Like, if it ended now, there'd be a clear winner. But the problem is that there are shows that have made it that I think people predicted to end early.
Okay.
And therefore, I don't have totals for them, that makes sense.
Terra Nova is gone. And...
Right. Everything's been canceled, has been calculated. But there's shows like Whitney, and there's shows that we don't know what's happening with them yet, and it's going to come down to
Whitney is literally a cunt hair away from cancellation, right? It's hanging on.
Well, it may just stay because they don't have anything else.
Are they feeling bad about getting rid of Outsourced now? Are they really?
I don't think there's any sadness over Outsourced, but I think they sort of feel like you know, Up All Night has stars in it, and so that's worth keeping because
Parks and Rec
could build an audience.
Parks and Rec has steadfastly refused to suck, so that's why people don't like it.
Parks and Rec, I just think is
apparently Malia Obama's a big fan.
Oh, Parks and really?
Because
why?
Because they had Aziz do an event.
Oh, did they?
And,
okay.
I think a fundraiser.
And
he was like. I don't know what happened, but
he's completely inappropriate
and the president,
for that age.
And
the
president like gave him a shout out.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah,
good for him. I don't know why.
No, but they
know. Chose him. But you know,
what is she like? 13, something like that.
I think the older one might be 15 now.
14, something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah,
oh, that
yeah,
might be
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
around
yeah. If that Malia's, I don't even know what the Obama kids and
Sasha and Malia. I don't know how old they are.
I don't know who which ones who and how much.
Sasha's the little one. Malia's the older one.
Oh, okay. Well, you know more than I do.
Oh, hey, I have a shot of Jillian Jacobs topless. All right.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at you. Thank you for not sharing.
All right. I'm sharing it right now.
And he's sharing with you.
Oh, nice. All right. Ron.
So anyway, Chevy is in war with me. And maybe they just could cancel that show then. I mean, who wants to be on TMZ about how everybody's fighting, you know?
Apparently,
like, that's a negative thing.
But you know what? Okay, in our own lives, you and I have recently had feuds and fights.
Yeah, but why does NBC want that attention?
Ultimately, it doesn't help you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess people would go like, oh, maybe let's see what's going on here. They're fighting. Like this, I don't think the season finale where they had the fight when they were taping it is aired yet.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's all just, you know, like, hey, we'll hype this last show.
Right.
watch and see how uncomfortable Chevy is and if he sucks. And
but you're not going to be able to tell because of the tone of the show.
Yeah, it's
And then they have the Celebrity Apprentice, which is nothing but fights over nothing.
Have we decided that that's the worst show on television?
It's
because it really, like, Two Broke Girls, I was ready to say you couldn't get worse than that. But, yeah,
Joel,
Celebrity Apprentice
is
terrible.
Have you seen Swamp People or... Have you seen Duck Dynasty?
There's the difference.
Okay.
Celebrity Apprentice is really just Donald Trump's show.
Yeah.
It's like Donald Trump throwing $100 bills on the floor and making people eat dog food. It's really just it's all about humiliation.
It is.
There really is no redeeming value in that show. I know if you ask the premise of it, celebrities are raising money for charity.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. But you know what? They're not. They're bickering with each other and they're raising money for Donald Trump. That's what the show is all about.
There are no rules.
Yeah.
First off.
Yeah.
And this week, I know you stopped watching, but let me.
Well, here's the thing. Let me just tell you what my relationship is with The Apprentice.
Your girlfriend.
My girlfriend likes it, and so I take the episodes over to her house so she can watch it when I'm not around.
Oh, yeah.
Because if she's not home on Sunday, I have to, like, record it for her. But anyway, it's a whole big fucking thing.
You got to put it on a memory card?
Put it on a disc and all kinds of shit for her. So it's a whole fucking can of worms. So I've seen it because she'll be watching it. I'll see it, but otherwise I don't watch it. Yeah. So I've seen in total about 90 minutes of however many hours of Celebrity Apprentice has been on.
Uh-huh.
And if it's 3 episodes, that's something on the order of 18 or 20 hours of Apprentice. It's the longest show on television.
It's a 2-hour show.
The Winds of War took less time to tell its story than Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's
what NBC fills their schedule with.
They got nothing.
They don't have NFL.
They don't have NFL. They don't have anything.
Right.
They can't get a scripted show, a scripted drama to work that isn't called Law and Order. They have had no success with that
Wouldn't
whatsoever.
Wouldn't you think they'd be better off? And they don't have. If they had an NBC now, NBA is tied up with ABC, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Because the NBC could really use that and put that.
Well,
on.
NBC has Sunday Night Football, but it's
well,
only
saying,
on for those weeks.
When football's
yeah.
out, they need to
sure.
put on something.
Yeah, because they don't have a scripted drama that's worked. We thought, and when I was doing the prediction, our thing was that Maria, what was the Maria Bello show? Prime Suspect.
Mm-hmm.
We all predicted as a big hit with a renewal. Yeah. I think it lasted 4 weeks. You know what I mean? Like, that looked like their hit,
six,
and they can't, they couldn't make a hit. They can't do it. Grimm, I think they're saying, is a kind of a hit. But that's on, like, Friday nights
but
where there's no audience.
What's it hit on television anymore? You don't even know.
They want it to be. There's a number that they have in mind.
There's so many. Back to the Olbermann thing. He went over to this station, and they were like, we're going to build it. But they never got clearances.
They didn't get the clearances.
And so he was pulling. He went from pulling a million to pulling under 200,000.
Yeah.
And I understand why he would want to get out of there because it
sucked. But they also say that he.
But he was a dick.
He debuted on Current with a larger audience, and it eroded.
Yeah.
Which means that the quality of the show or something about the
show.
Well,
he was gone a lot.
He was gone a lot. Something about it didn't. Now, number one, I recorded when Andrew Breitbart died, and I don't think we talked about this element on the show, but you were telling me how Olbermann, you got to watch Olbermann. Because
well, I was wondering what
Breitbart.
He was going to say. Yeah.
He was slamming Breitbart for weeks about what a dick he was, and he was his mortal enemy. So this is going to be a great show about how
nothing.
Great he is. He never mentioned it once. And I don't know if he mentioned it in the days that
he
followed. He's never even brought it up, huh?
He slammed Andrew Breitbart the way you and I slam. We used to slam Dawn and Drew.
Right, whoever.
We used to slam Bibb and Yang.
Sure, yes.
He took a dump on Andrew Breitbart for weeks. The guy drops dead, and Keith said nothing.
He had nothing to say.
Which I thought was kind of a punk move.
Because you could at least you know, say...
Acknowledge the death.
Hey, the guy's dead, and while I didn't agree with the guy, I feel sorry for his family. And,
or something.
Something.
Just
hey,
acknowledge
Breitbart,
the guy
you know, just at least bring it up. It's like part of the story you're not even telling when you're just ignoring it like that. It's terrible.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so Breitbart, so Olbermann's a jerk. I don't know what these shows need to succeed, but there's a number based upon what they're... But you have to remember, too, it's all budgetary, though.
Right.
These shows can't exist when they have high budgets, and Olbermann demanding whatever he was demanding...
He was taking more money than he could bring in.
It was just more money than he can bring in, and that's why these NBC, you know... The Apprentice costs $3 to make... And, you know, they'll run it because it's, you know, it's not the highest rated show.
What do you
show.
Think they got to pay these celebrities?
I don't know. I mean, I know they do it. I know they get paid. I've heard that celebrities can get $100,000 for Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
I've heard that number. Mm-hmm. And I know from a guy that was on a reality show, I know like a celebrity that did one that told me it was real good money for what you did, because it wasn't, but I can't give you a quote on that.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, this guy's not a huge star, but he's kind of a has-been, but you know.
Yeah.
He told me once what he got for like the, I know a guy was on Surreal Life.
Okay.
And he told me that Surreal Life paid real good for what you did.
Uh-huh.
Which I'm guessing they shot Surreal Life in like 3 weeks or something.
Considering though, so. What that guy's idea of getting paid is.
Well, whatever. I mean, it was considered good money for what you do. So,
I hear you.
I actually looked up what members of Surreal Life I've met, and it's shockingly high.
You?
It's a shockingly high yield.
I think I can.
The first three seasons of Surreal Life.
I could think like I've three met, or I've four. Met, you've probably
I've
met? Met.
I've probably met a half dozen. I go, God, is this really where I'm at in my career?
You never met Sherman Hemsley.
I never did meet Sherman Hemsley. Is he still alive or is he dead?
He's still alive.
He's still alive. I thought.
I know you've met. Yeah, I can.
I've met a few guys. I think but one of those guys told me it was great money.
Hammer.
I'm not saying who it was.
I'm not going to say.
But I've met Hammer.
I'm going to say who you've met.
And I've met
Hammer. Yeah. Vanilla Ice.
Sure, I've met Hammer. Vanilla Ice.
You've met Ron Jeremy.
Ron Jeremy, I've met.
Who else was on that show?
A lot of people. Yeah. Was Dustin Diamond on there? I think he was. I met him. But. A lot of these people.
You meet a lot of sketchy people doing comedy. You really do.
I also have an affiliation with the Insane Clown Posse.
Which is even sketchier.
They bring you some of those guys.
J.J. Walker was
Jimmy. I don't know if he was ever on there, but I know Jimmy. Yeah, I met Jimmy. But loved Jimmy as a kid. That's a weird thing. It's a weird thing to like see somebody. Because like you can't. Here's the thing. There's no amount of television or celebrity that there's nothing that can replace like personal contact. It's much more overpowering than the celebrity aura gives you. That's been my opinion with it.
Yeah,
like there's nobody that like if you meet somebody and they're a dick to you, like you can never watch their shit again. And like
it's a good
it's
point.
It's a really odd thing. And I know that like there's people like there was a thing. And it's not exactly the same point, but I know on the Full Metal Jacket Blu-ray, there's a commentary with Vincent D'Onofrio, and he goes, you know, I can't watch. He goes, I can't enjoy a movie. So I know how it's done. I know the people. I can't.
The sausage making.
He goes, he's like, I wish I could enjoy movies like you guys do, and I just can't. And it's kind of like that when you meet people. It kind of sucks. Like if I watch Good Times, I don't know that I can enjoy. But actually, see Jimmy Walker, I like.
It's like that.
But there are people that if you don't like them, I don't know if you can.
But it's like
them.
That for stand up for me.
Yeah, well, I think so too.
A lot of people go, "Oh, I watched this. I was watching." Insert name of comic here.
Yeah.
I was watching Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah.
And I go, "Oh, he's doing a lot of food jokes, right?"
Yeah.
You know, like I sit there and
you know too much.
I
about
know
it.
The structure of what he's doing. I was watching Tom Papa, who was just at the Comedy Castle, who you met.
Sure.
I was watching his set, and I went, oh, I know how he's doing.
Like, yeah, it's...
You know the trick.
Right. Well, it's like a magician watches it, and you go, that's good, that's nice, I like the way you did that.
Mm-hmm.
You can say whether it's good or bad, but you don't enjoy it as a layman does, generally speaking. And that's,
some guys I do, and some guys...
Some guys you do, but some guys you do, you enjoy them simply because they don't follow the formula, or they don't follow the script.
Mitch...
And because they break the
Mitch
rules,
Hedberg was
you
always
go
fun
like,
to watch.
Oh, that's different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mitch Hedberg was always fun
makes
to watch.
You a comics comic.
Exactly. Well, Eugene Merman is kind of a comics comic.
Yeah, I've seen Eugene do stand-up.
You know, and it's stuff like that. Where
Eugene is very like, I'm just going to tell you a story about my life, and it's not really stand-up, but it might be funny.
And he'll go on weird tangents much like this show has been on weird tangents. So
I don't know. What time do you got to go? Because we could wrap what else?
I'm ready to go.
We've done an hour
speaking
and 25
feuds,
minutes.
Howard Stern's on vacation yet again, and
okay.
It's like Kinison week. And that guy did nothing but feud.
Yeah, and
I listened yesterday to like him yelling at Bobcat Goldthwait.
Okay, here's the difference about feuds in the 80s, though, that I think they were legit then, in a sense. That nowadays I
now
feel like these feuds are put... Because the problem is that these guys needed a platform to fight. That's why you'll never get such good stuff on Howard anymore.
Right.
Is because Howard had to be the venue of the fight.
No one would fight anywhere else.
Now guys fight on Twitter. Or they fight, you know, they have their own websites.
That
they
is
have
a good
Facebook.
Point.
And before, like, nobody had airtime. So whenever Howard would go on, like, you know, Leno or what, Letterman, it was this great thing because that was the venue. That was where the fight. Dice And Kinnison had to fight on Howard because there was nowhere else to do it.
The famous Celebrity Apprentice, Arsenio Hall, is on there.
Oh, yeah.
Fighting with this nonsense idiot Aubrey O'Day.
Are you done with that, though? I think I was trying to get that question out of you. Are you officially done? Are you still going to watch it?
Because until Penn leaves, I think I might still.
Because here's the thing. And you said this going into it, that I needed to watch because I like Adam Carolla, and I do, and he was on it. Love Penn Jillette. He's on it. We like Lisa Lampanelli. She's on it.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat enamored in a humorous way with Lou Ferrigno. You know, I mean, there's reasons to watch the show. And then I went like, yeah, but I don't, you know, I like American Chopper. I like Paul Tuttle Sr. on his show.
He says nothing.
But the problem with those people is that let me make my point.
Yeah, go ahead.
The problem with it is these people they're out of their element. And I like Penn Jillette when he's either talking about politics or doing magic or juggling. And he's done that for 30 seconds on probably each episode, but that's it. I like Adam Carolla when he's funny and he cracks jokes, but he didn't really last very long. And even when he was on, he didn't very much. Lisa Lampanelli, and me and my girlfriend were just talking about this, she's ruined her career.
She's sitting there crying.
I mean, she's sitting there crying. I mean, she's supposed to be this tough broad who puts everybody down, and she's, like, really sensitive, and
I think Adam took the approach that it was a show and it didn't matter.
Yeah, Adam kind of did his shtick through it, but...
And he did, and that was probably the best way to go.
But it's not... I don't like watching these people that I like... what they're doing.
Right, sure. Not doing their own thing.
What they're doing. It's just sort of like, you know.
Right. Well, that's why would you want to watch people on Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah. I mean, I'm watching, Dancing with whatever. Sometimes it's interesting to watch people out of their element, but.
But Arsenio has been gone from the public sight.
But whose element is this?
I don't
know. Whose element is, you know, promoting? Because I go too.
I don't even know what the game is.
Right. The game, I guess, is you're raising money for charity. And so are you an event planner? Are you in advertising? Because you're not Trump's apprentice. Trump does none of these things.
Right.
Nothing that they're doing on the show is something that Trump would ever
do
himself.
So the original Apprentice show.
Which I never saw.
Which, without celebrities. Okay. The premise was they were looking for someone to manage the construction of the Trump Tower in Chicago.
Okay.
That was going to be your job.
Yes.
So you had to suck every dick in town. You had to wear out the knees on your jeans.
Yeah.
Just gobbling cock.
Sure.
To get that job.
Yeah.
And it was a business thing, and I was never that interested in the original Apprentice. But
did they do the same tasks?
Yeah, they did tasks.
But the same fucking stupid things?
They didn't do fundraising because they didn't have celebrities.
I've described the show as it's Celebrity Lemonade Stand. I mean, a lot of times that's what it feels like. It's
the
like,
more
you know,
interesting tasks are when they have to do brand identity for something, or they have to do logos or slogans. That I'm actually kind of interested in.
Yeah,
but then the corporate humps come on.
Yeah.
The fucking corporate humps from these things. And you know the corporate people are going to say some shit that's stupid. And they're going to make a pick that seems irrational.
Yeah, it's...
Okay, so
you talk. I'm going to stop.
No, it's okay.
Because I got nothing to
say. But then Trump says... It makes no sense because then Trump... what is he really trying to achieve? Who he wants someone to be representative of him or serve? Is they're not his apprentice? So why are they even on there? What's the point? Because then if I'm going, all right, I'm going to pick the smartest people in this room. If I see that room full of people, I go, all right, Lisa, Adam, Penn, Arsenio, and everybody else can go.
Sure.
Thanks. I mean, D. Snyder, whatever.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to win because he had an ability to kiss ass.
Yeah.
But they fired him this week.
Well, but they also seem to like take it's a very short-sighted view of it's really only based on what they did that week. And so if they give you something to do that you have no fucking idea how to do it and you do it poorly, they'll get rid of you. So it's sort of like it sort of becomes like you're drawing straws and whoever draws the short straw goes home.
Right.
And it just isn't just
it's not a good game.
Because
he fired Debbie Gibson over this Miss Universe.
Yeah.
Everybody on the show for weeks has told him Miss Universe has no ideas. She does nothing but look pretty.
Yeah.
And then we do all the work and she stands there and she goes and picks up stuff when we tell her to do it.
Mm-hmm.
This happens on that show every time.
Yeah.
Some pretty bimbo or some guy who doesn't say anything, like Paul Tuttle, sits around for weeks, and then funny people who actually do something or create something or take a risk get fired. It's the dumbest show.
Yeah.
But Arsenio, who's trying to get back in show business apparently, and is Mr. Nice, lost his shit and yelled at his broad, Aubrey O'Day, for like the whole show.
Wow.
Because she did make the dirtiest crack on him.
Because they're not like in men versus women anymore. Is that what they happened?
No, because the women lost so many times.
Oh, that they had to mix up the
women
teams.
Kept getting beat over and over again. Because on the other side is Penn Jillette, who's smarter than all of them. Right? Like, the guys have actual talent.
Yeah.
And the women are a bunch of, you know.
Well.
You know, hey, Corey, whoring sea donkeys.
Corey.
What?
Outside of The Apprentice, if you lined up the men and the women.
Right.
The men are going to have all the talent anyway.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
I'm just saying. Between us.
Lisa Lampanelli is a talented
she's
comedian.
She's talented.
Right? Yeah, but she's carrying the weight of the whole team.
She really is carrying a lot of weight.
And she's mad that she's an ugly broad and she's got talent. She's an ugly broad with brains in a room full
Corey, look at look at who's achieved. You know what I mean? Like, anyway, I'm being a dick. I'm sorry.
You're being a huge dick.
I'm being a dick, and the show is horrible. And
it's a Dratton show, and today's... Chimichanga. That is your...
Chimichanga is the code
word? That's your code word today if you made it all the way through. Chimichanga. All right, everybody.
I don't know. Let's do some movie reviews or something.
Oh, God.
Did you see anything? Because I've seen a lot of home video stuff.
I've seen nothing.
I saw one theatrical movie. You want to hear what I saw theatrically?
Yeah, what?
And I'll recommend it. Salmon Fishing in the Yemen.
Okay.
Which is a movie that if you have a movie theater near you, it's not there probably. But this is a movie with...
It's not playing in Yellowknife, Canada?
It's probably not playing there. No, but... this is Ewan McGregor and Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
And the goal is that some rich guy wants to salmon fish in the middle of the desert in Yemen. And the British government thinks it's a good idea because it would get rid of all of this war coverage of the Middle East. It's a positive story for the Middle East.
Gotcha.
So this British minister, who's Kristen Scott Thomas, she's this minister of publicity or whatever for 10 Downing Street. Yeah. It doesn't sound... It sounds boring. But if you watch the movie, it's a very good movie. And it's not even hard to follow. It seems like an odd premise for a movie, and it is. But it's a very easy movie to follow. Lasse Hallström directed it, who's really a guy who... I don't know why he's not famous.
Because
he kind of makes quirky movies a little bit, but they're very easy to watch, and they're very sort of... they're humorous without being broad comedies. He's a... Give me an IMDb on Lasse Hallström.
Yeah, Lasse Hallström kind of makes middle of the road pictures.
Yeah, but I think he makes, like, he made What's Eating Gilbert Grape, I know, and The Cider House Rules, and stuff that people really seem to enjoy.
All right.
And this movie's as good as any of those, I think. So I'm recommending it, but give me some Lasse Hallström. Come on.
The Hoax.
The Hoax was great.
Yeah, with Richard Gere.
That was a great movie. I forgot he
Casanova.
Did. Okay, I don't know Casanova.
With the late, great. Heath Ledger.
I never saw Cassidy.
Dear John. That was a piece of shit.
Dear John, okay, but that was a movie that people liked, I think.
It did okay. Yeah. An Unfinished Life. What was that?
I don't know. See, maybe this guy's making too obscure stuff.
With, Robert Redford and J-Lo.
Really? Maybe I take back my last
The Shipping News.
Comments.
Chocolat.
Yeah, he made, but I mean, those are all critically acclaimed movies. Cider House Rules, and I'm guessing Gilbert Grape is probably before that.
Yeah.
And, so he's a good director. And he makes movies that have sort of, they're highbrow, but they're not over your head, sort of. They're sort of grounded in a certain reality.
You know what the problem with Lasse Hallström is? He makes exactly the kind of movie that Hollywood doesn't make anymore.
Yeah, he sort of. He makes comedies.
He makes mid-budget.
Yeah.
Mid-budget, not quite indie romances.
Right, not with, and you generally not with big stars or not.
Or with stars that are okay, but they're not.
They're playing against type or something.
They're not, you know, Brad Pitt.
Right.
So, first of all.
Johnny Depp and Leo DiCaprio.
Only a handful of stars really can draw box office
That's
anymore
true.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So he makes movies that don't involve lasers or robots or anything blowing up.
Yeah.
And those are exactly the kind of movies that don't get made in Hollywood.
But I think he's a guy. If you see his name, if you see directed by Lasse, I think you're in for a good night at the movies. Anyway, this movie's good.
I think his next movie should be Gillian Jacobs topless the whole
time. That's true. Alison Brie takes a shower. There you go.
They're perfect,
2 hours of
they're
that.
Perfect little Hershey kisses.
I think they're bigger than that.
Well, wait till you see the picture I got up.
Oh, of the other broad. Yeah, I don't know.
Brie's probably a little more top-heavy than
Look, yeah,
Jacobs.
Big ones. So anyway, I recommend salmon fishing in the Yemen.
We're the worst. All right.
What are you seeing tonight, then, if you haven't seen it in movies?
American Pie, The Reunion.
Well, you go see some. Yeah. Sneak into salmon fishing in the Yemen.
Right, sure. Last weekend, it was Wrath of the Titans.
Oh, my fucking God.
It's bad, man.
I love that. Here's a movie that nobody liked that cost $1 billion, and we're making another one. It's unbelievable.
No one. That was my review.
Not
I said,
one guy liked the first one.
That was my review. I said, no one will admit to liking Clash of the Titans.
Yeah.
But we have a sequel for it because it made enough money internationally that we now have Wrath of the Titans.
Yeah, because,
and it was the most boring, like, I've never seen entire cities collapse and be destroyed by giant monsters in such a boring way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've never seen the end of the world look this dull.
How rooted in, like, Greek mythology is it?
Kind of takes its own liberties. Yeah, the first one.
Certainly, there's more. I mean, I haven't even seen the original. I saw the original '83 Clash of the Titans or whatever.
Right,
but I never saw the newer one.
Some of the effects are really cool in this. There is the big lava monster at the end of it. That's cool.
Okay,
but
is it sort of the John Carter syndrome, or is
it's a boring hero.
Yeah,
you've got Ralph Fiennes and Liam Neeson going.
Yeah,
they're a little campy. They're a little, you know, they're hamming it up a little bit. Here's what's really bizarre. Everybody talks in their own accent.
Right, yeah.
So you've got, the hero is from Perth, Australia.
Yeah, right.
Although he doesn't have a real thick Aussie accent, but you can hear a little bit notes of it. And then Liam Neeson is Irish as Zeus.
Yeah.
Although actually he's sort of just doing the Liam Neeson voice.
Yeah, yeah.
But Ralph Fiennes is doing his English accent.
You're right.
And then Bill Nighy shows up as the is Hephaestus, you know, the god of the forge, the tinkerer, and he's talking in like a Midlands accent.
Yeah, yeah.
Dune, and you know, he's
they don't they don't
like
try
northern,
to
northern like a northern English accent. Yeah. And they don't try to bury into the accent. So it's all over the place. It's really weird.
Just have an accent. That's what they tell you to show.
Just have everybody do the
same. Don't sound like you're from Iowa. That's pretty much the rule.
But they're Greek, and I'm like,
sound exotic in some level.
Yeah, but they but you're like, I don't know. Apparently, Greece is now part of the UK, and they all have weird. Anyway,
I don't know.
It's bizarre.
Well, that's sort of the thing, and you know, they make like the Star Wars thing where the Rebel Alliance is American and everyone else is British. The bad guys are.
Well,
British.
Well, that makes sense. At least there's a delineation.
Yeah, sure.
But gee, but jumping Jiminy Christ on a pony.
Yeah, so skip that, huh?
Look, if you really just want to have brain-erasing candy for 2 hours and you want to go watch something in IMAX, it's kind of cool. It's somewhat better than the first one.
Oh, okay. Well,
which is faint praise.
Not saying much.
Right, but I mean, you know, it's a...
Right, yeah.
If that one was a D, this one's a C.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's not great.
If you want to watch people burn $200 million, it's worth $8.
Just shit it right out. Yeah, I mean, it's just bad.
It's right, you know. So anyway, yeah, so what else? Home video. Because I've seen a bunch of shit on
home video.
Well, because I'm
coming soon to Betamax.
Well, but people are watching stuff at home, and so more people are watching stuff at home, so... If I can recommend something that not all of you... Young Adult, I mentioned. I saw that. I'm saying you can skip that, although if you watch it, it's not terrible.
I liked it a lot.
I'm saying skip it because the heroine is... The main character that Charlize Theron plays is not likable. And really, there's no journey for her character. She's pretty much the exact same person that starts the movie that ends the movie. And I get that you're not giving us a Hollywood ending, and I appreciate that.
There's a journey, but...
But it's not a good ending either, just because it's not a Hollywood ending.
I will say,
Patton Oswalt is great in that.
I agree with you. I would say the first half of the movie is terrific, and then we get to a certain point...
Yeah, it's...
We get to a certain point where it sort of... it runs laps, where it kind of... We get the same message.
Yeah, I wanted to like it, and...
The first half of it's tremendous. I liked it a lot.
It's set up pretty well, but it's not like... There's a reason this movie wasn't nominated for shit. You know what I mean? When I ever see, Young Adult was snubbed.
It got nominated.
It didn't get nominated for much. It got the script, I think. And that was
got Best Supporting Actor. No, Patton didn't get nominated.
Charlize might have got nominated.
Charlize got nominated.
She might have. Yeah. It wasn't that good. It was overrated.
In my opinion.
I'm saying skip it. It's not terrible.
You were a big hater of Juno.
Juno was, I'd watch Celebrity Apprentice for 50 hours before I'd watch Juno again. That was a piece of garbage. Mm-hmm. But I loved Up in the Air, which was Jason Reitman, and I think he's talented. But no, this Diablo Cody's got to go.
She
gotta,
Urkel's crying. On
Put her on Celebrity Apprentice, Diablo Cody.
This script is not that bad.
Yeah, young adult was. I think you can skip that. The Muppets. If you didn't see that, I think that's worth a look.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a shame with all the talent they had there that's what they made.
They could have made something better.
It was a better. It was a better movie before they found the Muppets. I think. Didn't you think that? Like when it was just Amy Adams and Jason Segel and the one and Walter before they found the other guys, it became a gag fest.
It was kind of
a
couple different movies.
Yeah, it was a weird and
I think they didn't need Walter.
They didn't, but he was kind of how do you tie that together if you don't
You
have
just
him?
Have Jason Segel yeah, be a fan I guess. Of Muppets. Yeah, you don't I guess. Even need the Muppet.
Yeah. Yeah,
because if he can't find the Muppets, but his best friend is a Muppet.
Yeah, but he wasn't a real Muppet. He was like a wannabe Muppet.
Who was
retarded, I guess. I don't know. You have to suspend disbelief.
Well, you really do. And it's a movie about puppets, but still.
Amy Adams works on cars, too. You know, I mean, you got to suspend
Amy
disbelief.
Adams works on me. If you
Amy Adams
you know
is
what?
Good.
If you throw her in that picture.
All right, let me.
Well, she's spanking
you
the
can Photoshop her, right. And she.
She's paddling the blonde, and then the blonde is paddling the brunette.
But it's good. You know, it's just. And it's always interesting. If you get the DVD or the Blu-ray, even if you saw this in the theater, there's a shitload of celebrities that got cut out of that movie.
That was a problem, I thought, that it needed more celebrities.
There's a whole scene where Ricky Gervais agrees to host the Muppet talent show, and then he's there, and they give him a phony Oscar, which is kind of funny, and then he bails, and then Kathy Griffin agrees to do it, and then Billy Crystal shows up and goes, hey, nobody can host a show like I can host a show, and it was like in the deleted scenes, and it was a great scene.
Why wasn't that?
I think for length. I think they wanted to do like 80 minutes. And
guess what? They could have cut some other stuff.
But then there was like, they show up. It was another great scene. They show up at Grauman's Chinese Theater. They get off a bus from wherever little town they live in. And they immediately run into Rob Corddry as Superman, like taking pictures with fans, you know, like pretending he's Superman. And he's like, he's got no ass on his shirt or anything. And he's all sweaty and he's bald, you know, like Rob Corddry is. And it's hilarious. He's like, takes them for $10 and stuff. And like, that was a great scene. And they cut it out. And they just cut out lots of stuff.
You know, they had a bunch of cameos in there, but
they
needed more.
You know what? I don't know if they needed more or they needed less.
Who's going to say?
They needed less Jack Black and
right.
more.
They had a lot of Jack Black and
somebody
used,
else. Yeah,
well,
it was
I really
weird.
Said, where's Steve Martin?
Yeah, he wasn't in it.
And he wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was very weird that they cut out these, and I'm trying to remember who else was in the deleted scenes. Like, I mean, people like Sarah Hyland, but she's not, who cares if she's not in it, but, you know, she was cut out, and I'm like, well, she's a pretty big star, you could put her in, but I don't know.
Whatever.
It was weird, but
they left Sarah Silverman in.
Sarah Silverman was in for one scene, like literally she had like one line. You know, it was very odd. But anyway.
I think the problem was the Amy Adams stuff almost didn't connect to the other stuff.
Hey, you know what? I liked the song.
Why are we breaking apart the Muppets?
It was a good movie that you wonder why it didn't quite work, even though I liked it. You know what I mean?
I think it was pretty much a hit for most people.
Yeah, but I've heard that like the Muppet people hated it, too.
Well, the people who were...
The puppeteers, sort of like the guy who did Kermit, wanted to take his name off it, according to Entertainment Weekly.
What have those guys done with the Muppets?
That's the problem. They're not creative at all. So I guess you kind of let these guys come in. But
they had Statler and Waldorf were on the soup.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And everybody just laughs because it's Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah, sure. Whatever they say.
But the quality of the material could have been better.
Yeah, no. No, Jason Segel and Nick Stoller did a great job with the script. And James Bobin, who did Flight of the Conchords, directed that very well. And they do a commentary on that as well. So I think that's worth seeing. Descendants is out on home video now, if you want to get that.
I loved it.
You said it was the best picture of the year. I liked it, but it was a little... You know, when I break down, like, what was my favorite... Like, would I want to watch that again?
It's hard to watch.
And I don't think I would want... It's a little too maudlin, Descendants. But it's shot great. It's acted great. It's
great.
Look
at the movie that won.
Yeah.
The movie that won
yeah.
was the breezy, easy.
Yeah.
The movie, as they often say in politics, the guy with the sunshine in his face.
Right.
Is
yeah,
the
yeah. I haven't even seen The Artist, but I know what you're saying.
That's the one.
Descendants was great, but it was a little.
It was real. It involved real emotions.
And I love Alexander Payne as well. It was a good movie, but again,
I like the bikini on that one chick.
Recommended on the daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's cute. I like that girl. What's her name?
Who cares? Tits Magoo. All right. Tits Magoo. Let's wrap this thing up.
I got more movies to review.
Oh, for the love of Christ!
I've been watching movies. Well, people
I got to go watch another one. Let's go.
Who cares? People want to know what's good at home, and I'm telling them.
Oh, Jesus.
You can also get, you can also see, what else did I see? Oh, The Sitter with Jonah Hill. You can skip that for the rest of your life.
Okay, good, yeah.
No need to see that. Although Jonah Hill does Jonah Hill, it's just everything else is wrong with that movie.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where they were thinking with some of this casting. It was written terribly. I don't know. Jonah Hill's funny doing Jonah Hill, I think. But this movie was no good. So
did we review 21 Jump Street last week?
I think we did talk about how he got fat and skinny. And you said that was pretty good.
It's so, got laughs, yeah.
But yeah, you can skip The Sitter for sure. And what else can we did in a review? Maybe that's it. Maybe that's all I've seen.
All right.
But then. The new TV shows are good. If you check out Game of Thrones is back on HBO this week. I liked it. Watched the debut of season 2 there. The Killing, a very controversial show, is back on AMC. And I have to say I like it. But if you didn't like all the twists and turns and how they would, you know, completely like turn the story on its ear every week. They've done, you know, a 2-hour debut and they've completely turned the whole first season upside down.
There you go.
But you know, I like it. I can't fault it. I'm in. I'm a sucker for it.
All right.
I like it. It's a hit. And Eastbound and Down continues to be very funny on HBO. So watch that.
I just got HBO, so I'll be enjoying that.
Catch up on those because his mom is great. I don't even want to tell you who the mom is.
Okay.
But they find Kenny Powers' mom, which is a good casting. All right. It's funny. So watch that.
Mad Men is back. First episode, stellar.
Stellar.
Second episode, fat suit.
No good, huh?
No, they put January Jones in a fat suit.
Whoa. Like as part of the main plot or like some
that was her
dream sequence or something?
No, that was her storyline.
Hey, hey.
Is that she's depressed and she's putting on weight. And you're like, who wants to watch that?
Yeah. Well, January Jones too good an actress to get fat? Is that the problem?
Not good enough of an actress.
I was going
to
say, like, what
she it was a weird-looking fat suit. You have to see.
It just didn't work.
You have to see pictures of it. Apparently, she was pregnant when they shot it. So
I think that would help.
Yeah, but they still put fat on her, and it didn't, you know what I mean? She was pregnant, and they were like, you know how some skinny bitches get pregnant, and it's just their belly shoots out, and they don't look fat?
Yeah.
They were like, let's add some pounds.
But see, here's the thing about Mad Men, and I don't know the show, and I didn't see this episode, certainly. But I know what people like about it is that there is sort of, even if it's not really what happened, there is this sort of this verisimilitude, like, that was the 60s, at least some romanticized version of it. And then to sort of do a goofy bit like that seems to be against what they've done.
Well,
like that movie is all about the costume, and it's about the look, and it's about that. And if they're going to do some crappy effect, that seems like people would hate that.
The first episode, they did a thing where they ran an ad slamming a rival agency for not hiring minorities. And it was just they just did it as a goof on them.
Yeah.
But then by the end of the episode, all these black people showed up in the lobby to get interviewed.
And
it was great. They were like, oh, geez.
Oh, okay.
Our lobby's full of colored people. Are there Negroes in our lobby? And it was great. Yeah. And then they had to hire, you know, a black chick to be a secretary.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was good. This week, Heinz Beans wanted the Rolling Stones to do a song.
Yeah.
And so they wanted them to do a commercial for Beans.
And that didn't
and
happen.
And so they had to go backstage to try and meet the Rolling Stones.
So, were there guys playing the Stones, or was it all like they're out of focus or something?
No,
did they do that shtick?
No, they just hung out in the hallway and couldn't get in.
But you even hear Stones? Like
you, no, you didn't even hear your Stones. No, but there was a group. There was a girl that was like a fan, and she was like, "When I see Brian Jones, I'm going to jump him, and I'm going to make him understand that I am Lady Jane." It was a little silly.
So they did it. They did it like I Want to Hold Your Hand or something. Where
yeah,
you were girls screaming, but
there
you
were
didn't
girls
really
screaming,
see
and then
the Beatles like in
they
that,
were yeah. waiting to get in the back, and they name dropped the manager, and you know they were like Alan Klein and this and that, and then Anyway. All right.
Well, that's good. So that you're recommending people watch Mad Men.
It is good. It's still a good show, but this fat suit episode.
The fat suit's got to go.
Was not good.
Is it a one episode arc, or was there more fat suit coming?
She's not married to him anymore, so it's like she's, you know.
She's kind of not in the story as well?
No, but she's the mother of the kids, so you'll see her sometimes.
You'll show up.
Anyway, all right.
Survivor is pretty good. What do you think of Amazing Race? No,
it was off this week.
It was off this week, and you didn't miss it. That's how good that is.
I do. I love the guys from Kentucky.
I thought I'd hate those guys, and yet
Bopper and Bipper,
and yet they seem
them?
To have a pulse. So I enjoy them.
Some of these people are boring.
There really are some real dullards on there.
Oh, we're in Bavaria.
Well, there's the girl that was on Big Brother that cries every minute, which is exactly what she did on Big Brother. So, which I hated her on that. So why we'd like her now, I'm not sure.
All right.
Anyway, that's terrible. And what else was I going to tell you? I don't know if it's new, but Leave It to Beaver on Netflix. Every episode.
All right, I got to go.
Every episode of Leave It to Beaver on Netflix.
All right, I'm out.
It's great.
I don't know if it's new. It's only 58
years old. No, but I don't know if it's
old.
New on Netflix is what I'm saying. But you every Leave It to Beaver. So I watched the one where Benji, you know who Benji was on Leave It to Beaver? He's like about 4 years old. And Larry Mondello turned Beaver into a rock in a magic trick.
Wow.
And then Beaver had to go to Aunt Martha's. And Benji was afraid that Beaver was really a rock, so Benji was sleeping with a rock. So Ward, he was so, you know, Benji's mom got so upset that Ward had to drive up to Aunt Martha's to pick up Beaver and bring him home early from Aunt Martha's house.
Do you know that anyone... under
what?
35 doesn't know that.
No,
anymore.
But it's on Netflix. People can watch all the whole season, right? There's like every episode of Leave It to Beaver is on Netflix. So go watch that. It's great. You'll love it.
I think we only watched that stuff because it was on.
But you know what? I like Leave It to Beaver, and I was sitting around and I got, you know, 30,000 movies from Netflix. Uh-huh. I got about 200 queued up, and I went like, oh, they just added Leave It to Beaver. I need to catch up on some of these. So
a show that you watched every day of your childhood.
I would watch it after school. Yeah, it was on at like 3 o'clock or something.
What?
But
what season did Gilbert come in?
You know what? I can have a full breakdown for you because I also watched the one where Wally got a jelly roll haircut.
Oh!
And every time they cut to him, they had to play like you know, like Shake, Rattle, and Roll, like some bad rock and roll music over it. Like every time they zoomed in on his haircut, you heard. Like, you know, they had, like, you know, they played, like, you know.
Did you invest in the Ozzy and Harriet on your Netflix queue next?
I don't know. I think they might be on there. They have a lot of classic TV shows on there. Well, they have, like, every Twilight Zone on Netflix. They have a lot of stuff on there. So Leave It to Beaver is worth watching if you, I think that's, it's still a better written television show than just about any sitcom on the air now. So, go watch Leave It to Beaver.
It's got
to
be better than Whitney.
It's better written than that. Well, Whitey. That'll be our sitcom. Admit that. All right, good night, everybody. The music's over. We got to go.
That's Mitt Romney's sitcom.
It'd be good. Literally, the music's over.